This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Mutt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is the podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
This is the podcast for the working class. Working Class Bow Hunter, 400 episodes.
400.
That is 400. That's a lot of podcasting.
Yeesh. It is.
A big thank you to you for tuning in.
Everyone out there.
And basically motivating us to even want to get to 400 episodes. We've been having a blast with this. It's hard to believe. We were going to do some crazy intro, some dumb shit like we did, but we thought it'd just be fun to get everybody together and have a damn good time. Thank you so much for supporting us. We appreciate the fuck out of it.
Even for our four listeners, we're still doing 400.
You're the real MVP.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right. Here's to the next 400 and keep going. We got some big plans. We got to thank our partners. And we're not going to dive deep. We just want to give a thank you. HHA, Scent Crusher, Loophole, Thermoseat, Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Elite Archery, Big Time, Hunter's Blend Coffee, Old Barn Taxidermy, Can Cooker, and anybody that ever supported us in the past. And we just appreciate it all on every level. And we're appreciative of you. You know, if you still are a supporter or not, or if you've been a part of this in any way, you've been a guest, you've shared it, you've told somebody about it, it means a lot. And to our haters, fuck you. What's up? And what's then, up? So let's podcast, boys. What's going on?
God, definitely been a crazy fucking journey, hasn't it?
Yeah, dude, it's been nuts. So this is your host, Kurt Geyer, my trusty co-host.
Eric Common.
Our other trusty co-host. You all right with that?
Yeah, I'm good.
Chunked on a beer.
Doug Schmidt, what's up?
We have Mr. The Lord's in the house.
Holla.
Austin Chandler.
We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Ross Bigger. And your beard's here.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You
yeah.
brought that with you?
What's happening?
Is that yeah. thing still a thing?
He's the beard of God.
Ross's beard's on Instagram?
I hope not.
Rumor has it Clint Casper might buzz on in on the phone here.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
I told him, I said, did you kill the buck? You can drive your happy ass in here and podcast in studio with us for 400.
You're not wrong.
Don't be selfish.
I know.
That's what he's doing. He's just being selfish.
Yeah, I know.
Anywho.
It's like, what, 8-9 hours?
Dude, I was chump change.
That's not that bad.
It's just a little stroll. You know?
He drives to Utah every other week.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Shit. That's true. He drives right by here and never stops.
Maybe if Devin Leonard was a host on this show, he might come over here to fucking podcast.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, we see you, Devin. You're pretty man. It's your perfect teeth.
Hey. Perfect teeth.
Fake teeth, fake tits. What the hell's the difference, man? What's up? Nobody gets that, but
I haven't met him yet, so
I haven't either.
The dude's pretty man, and he has two perfect of teeth.
And that's not cool. He's got a really nice smile.
Are they fake teeth?
They might be. I'm not here to judge.
I'm about to get some fake teeth. Fuck it.
Yeah, me too.
Would you ask a girl if she had fake boobs if you thought they were nice looking?
Yeah.
If you didn't know her?
Yeah. No, you wouldn't.
Depends how drunk I am.
Depends what bar I was at. Depends what kind of tattoo she had. Right. I'm judging her character. By
depends on how many podcasts we did before that.
Right? Yeah.
Depends how famous we are.
What trade show are we at what area of the country?
Yeah.
ATA? Nobody really. That's canceled
this
year.
You never know.
Yeah. You're wearing sparkly britches. You're at ATA. You're down there. We know you didn't kill nothing last year.
ATA, maybe not. Like Deer Fest? I'd probably ask you.
Yeah, 2-for-1 Bush Light special. Yeah, I'm asking you.
For sure.
That's how episode 400 starting.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the fucking show.
Yeah.
You mean the shit show?
We really have, whitetails are the agenda, but there's really no solid agenda. This is kind of just us celebrating and drinking, talking with our boys, and kind of just doing what hunting camp, kind of doing what our show is based around. This is not the podcast, obviously. You've made it this 5 minutes. You realize you're not going to really get some heavy tips. You might, though. You might pull some stuff out of this. We got some whitetail killers in the
questionable.
Yeah. So, what's up, fellas? Season so far, man. It's middle of October officially, which is scary. And none of us has killed any deer yet, whitetails yet. I shot a turkey opening day. That was cool.
You drew blood.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool. I was going to get a picture with it and stuff, but... Yeah, called it in, did all that stuff. Kim got the meat offer and called it a day. Yeah, it's a turkey. Cool.
In the freezer.
Cool. I did, I'll just hurry up while I'm on. Talk about me. I mentally killed a doe. I did a hang and bang because the weather was so good right out the rip here in Illinois.
Yep.
Did a hang and bang, went to a spot I normally wouldn't go through this early in the afternoon, had some does come in. I drew back on a doe at 20 yards. You know that feeling you're like, you're so dead? What? Ross, you've told this in some stories before, and I kind of like mimic you. Oh, you're so fucked.
You're so fucked.
Like I had that level of confidence. It was just perfect.
I love that. I mean, that's the highest level of confidence going into that. Like, you're dead.
It is.
And then something happens.
Well, I let down. So here's
you let down.
I let her go. I let down, and it was a perfect shot. Like 20 yards, broadside, perfect light. Everything was perfect about it. And I was just buried on her, and I started to squeeze, and I was like, I'm back here a ways. And it's a spot I want to come back to kill a buck in, you know?
Sure,
sure. So I let down, and I said, I spared you. Carry on.
Right.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Which is an even better feeling.
I said, know that.
Bring me a buck.
Yeah. Know that.
That's an even better feeling, though. You know she's dead, and then you go to full draw, and you're like, and then you let down. You're like, yeah, that was two.
Yeah.
That's a confidence builder. Even if you don't punch the trigger, you get to draw back. You get to put the pin on some hair.
Yeah.
You get to, feel everything other than squeezing the trigger. So that's just as good as pulling the
trigger.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mental confidence, mental opportunity there.
Yep.
And if you're like me and you sit there and let down and you think, wow, I let this doe go. That's awesome. I could have got you. And then my biggest fear is, I guess, a big buck rolling in. So I'd be the number three on the whole deal. If a big boy rolls in 5 minutes later, you're like, whew, thank God I didn't shoot that doe.
Right, right. Well, I was back there a ways. And what's funny, I had four does underneath me, and they were all mature does. But the one I was far enough back that I was like, there's the big old bopping nanny, the big old slick head. And then they were all mature, but the one wasn't as big, but still big. And I was like, that's the one I'll shoot because I'm far back in here. Like, and
doing the math in your head.
Like, back asswards thinking, you know, like, I'm like, well, that big one might be some lot of work. And I was
Is that a fawn? Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah,
that's
the one with the short snout on it. Yeah, that button doe. Yeah. So I intentionally aimed for like the middle sized one, you know, and then I was just like, no, dude, I'm back in here. I'm planning on coming back. I don't need to come back here and quarter this deer out and take pictures for Instagram. Like, I don't need to do any of that shit. So, but it did feel good, right? I felt successful. And I felt good about myself. Pulled my set, got out of there, and I'll be back here once the crap's out.
You know what changes all that is if old Big Nanny decided to start blowing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that changes that.
And Nanny starts blowing. Now she's dead.
Now, yeah. You mean
now we got problems.
You mean Karen?
Yeah.
Karen
you went from a nanny to a Karen real fast.
Real fast.
Yeah. That's very true. Because then she's like educated and just educated everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it was cool, man. I mean, that was a true hang and bang. Felt good.
I like it.
What about you guys? Any excitement so far bringing us up to this point in season?
Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of deer. I've been out four times, and last time was the last time I didn't see anything. But, I mean, quite a bit of bucks, smaller ones so far. But
yeah, they're fighting.
I had a couple of sparring the other night. That was pretty cool.
Measuring contest. Nice.
Yep. And the one was crazy. He was only about, like, his mainframe was only about 6 inches long, but he had, like, 4 points coming off already.
Oh, is this the spot where you put that big time plot?
Nope, different spot.
Oh, really?
Different spot, yep. But that one, I seen 6 bucks that night. I mean, they're all little spikes or four corners or something, but I mean, it's a promising spot coming up in the future, but
right.
Still a good night.
Oh, yeah. And then I had the kind of the same thing Kurt had, but a little bit different. I drew a doe tag this year for Scott County, which is rare because they only give out 200 of them.
So weird.
Yeah, I was weird about their doe tags, but yeah. Doe comes out. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a great time. Kind of pop my cherry, you know, for the season, shoot a doe. And then the fawn kind of trots out behind her, and I'm like, can't do it. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
There, but
I know.
Sometimes you just live
some people are different. Some people are different about that, but I'm like, yeah, I just can't do it.
So that brings us up with your season. So, I mean, you're seeing deer, man. You've seen more deer than I have.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a ton of deer, but like after that opening weekend just got hot, and I mean, hot weather doesn't always mean.
The weather's been super weird around here because like opening week, it was like real cold, mm-hmm. or not real cold, but it cooled down.
It changed everybody's mindset right off the rip because people started thinking about buck movement straight out the gate.
Oh, yeah.
When normally that's not, I mean, it's always on our minds, but it's not so heavy forward on the buck movement moves.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yep. But I have a thing, like, I always go out October 1st. Weather, whatever, I always go sit a stand.
It's a celebration.
I remember last year, it was like 90 degrees.
Yeah.
This year, it was like 54.
Last year sucked.
It was terrible. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm sweating my dick off, but I'm here.
You're there, man. You're out there.
Yep.
What about you, Doug?
When I go out, October 3rd, that Friday, I think, I almost had a doe, but... dumb bitch went the other way, so it is what it is.
It is what it is.
But I saw quite a bit of deer there, and then the second time I went out, I got skunked, so it's been real fun. Been a good time.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, but you guys are both on big deer.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yep. Allegedly. In theory.
I'm on a couple big deer, too, but I feel like you guys, I feel like Doug's the closest right now.
I think this could be the year.
Oh, yeah?
I think this is the year I drop 180.
He's smiling. Is your fucking mustache tingling over there?
Like, turned up. Almost in a U.
My mustache and my downstairs.
Feel it on your downstairs mix-up, huh?
Feel it in my loins.
My downstairs area.
What about you, Austin and Ross? What's the update so far?
Ross, have you got to hunt yet?
Nope, not yet.
What?
I just pulled a bow back for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You were wounded.
Getting over this broken arm thing that I've suffered from all year.
Well, Ian, this is probably like the busiest time of the year for work.
We're prime time working right now. So taking care of grain bins, all the farmers calling and everything breaking down. So I'm just running
frickin'
nonstop.
Farmers,
every weekend. It's been every weekend, all day long, Saturday, Sunday. I get to come home for like an hour and then the phone rings again, but...
Perfect.
Anyway.
Damn.
As far as October 1st, if I had the time ahead of time to just get out there, do my scouting, I really like that October 1 through 5.
You like that a lot, huh?
Only because Austin and I had some encounters a few years ago, and by some, I mean some of the best encounters I've ever had.
You had a great bead on some really big deer.
Three big ones coming out of the same spot. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
We had some encounters, and it was. They were still
when
stuck
you say
on.
Big, we got to let people know what we were hunting for. you had one trail camera picture with two hundreds.
Yeah,
and so one trail camera picture.
There were two
in the same picture.
In the same picture.
Standing. Hold on, two 200s.
Two 200s. So
400 inches of antler. I just did my math right.
Well, plus.
I'm leaving.
I mean, plus.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, good grief.
Hey, but they no shit. They were standing in standing beans right in front of this camera, and I had been seeing him over on another the one I was after for a couple of years. He had been over at another property about 2 miles on a crow as a crow flies, and he disappeared. And then I went and pulled this other camera on this basically straight. Anyways, not very far from where I like to hunt.
Anywho. Anywho. I don't want to give too much away here.
Yeah, careful. Boom, he showed up right there. I'm like,
2 miles away.
There he is, 2 miles away. And he has done that, and it took me years to just figure this out. But mm-hmm. in velvet, all summer long, in one spot, moves 2 miles. Never once did I get a picture of him back over where he was in velvet all summer.
Yeah.
So he was just a mover, and seasonal mover. But anyways, he showed up. I'm like, boom, there he is. Now I'm on him.
Yeah.
And then I kept clicking through the pictures, and then all of a sudden there was another great big one in there.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he had a buddy with him.
And then there was two. The one got shot. I named him Showtime. And
yes,
he's a big unicorn buck. He went, he's 207 gross.
This is ironic that now a team working class member killed that deer, right?
No.
This is a different one. This was before Oscar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's what I'm thinking.
We saw Oscar that same weekend, but this was, 2 years before Oscar got killed, okay. and he was 150s.
We were after Showtime, and Austin was filming over my shoulder.
Sorry, I got that mixed up.
I'm going to keep this real short.
I feel bad for getting that mixed up, actually.
You're good. You're fine. So,
Too many names.
So Dick. Showtime, yeah.
You're an asshole.
Okay, so the year we were in there hunting, Austin was over my shoulder that night. Running camera. We were hoping Showtime would show up. Happens to be that his buddy that was in the picture that we're talking about,
Tiny Tim,
ended up showing up. Tiny Tim. And Tiny Tim, huh? we watched Oscar come out, which is, he was young, he was 3.5, but I mean like a mid, like 50s, he was 50s, and
like 3-year-old. Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, Oscar the Grouch. And the reason I named him that,
Ross is passing up 150s and not even thinking about it. I'm looking at this thing like, God dang, that's a hell of a deer.
God damn.
When you got two 200s running around, it's like you don't even look at a 150.
No, yeah.
But the thing about it is when he comes out, and he came out with like two or three other little three-year-olds, and which it was so awesome because we've got it all on camera, and I watch it back all the time, but Oscar comes out, these other ones come out, and one of them squares off with Oscar and just whooped the shit out of him.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, like 125-inch just blasted a 150
we were laughing.
To the ground.
No shit.
Yeah. Yep. Knocks him down on his belly in the beans.
You like, can hear it in the video. I'm like, Oscar just got his ass kicked.
And the beans are probably just drier than hell, so it's making all kinds of racket.
They're making all kinds of noise. So, but the cool thing was, like in that October 1 through 5, so we had that encounter, and I'll tell you the rest of the story about that night in a second. But anyways, those other nights, like I got to see Showtime come out with another 160, and they came out and just cruised like they were still on their summer pattern. The young bucks are doing their fighting thing and sparring and stuff,
right? Right.
But those big boys don't care. And you think Oscar looks big at 150. But when he's sitting there over
50 inches or next to him,
and this 160 rolls in next to him that night, I filmed all that too. That was another one of the one October. I don't know what date it was, but was whatever, 1 through 5. And this 160 rolls up, and he's like 5 or 6 and rolls up next to a 3-year-old. He's twice the body size, twice the head, neck, everything.
Twice the rack. He looks like a 400-inch deer.
And this deer, so Oscar looks like a baby. And then you can see it. I mean, but when he's by himself, you're like, oh, man, look at the size of that deer. So anyways, the rest of that night, to finish up real quick, Austin's over my shoulder. The wind starts blowing right at dark. It was stupid, but calm all day, and then wind
kind of
picks
opposite,
up.
Yeah.
So Tiny Tim comes out, and he's at 50, and Jimmy. then he sneaks into the woods, and I was gonna draw, but 50 at that time,
it was low,
and the wind,
it was low enough light. We're like, you know what? It's October, whatever it was earlier. Like we've got this deer. Like there's
a recipe for weird shit to happen.
No reason to get in a hurry at 50 yards on a low light shot.
Let's just leave him alone, and we did. I let him go, and I'm like, I'm seeing him all the time. I mean, they're together. They're right here. They're coming out of the same spot. This deer's dead. I mean, it's a chance. There's a chance here. There's two 200s. I mean, I could go bang, bang. And
bang, bang. Gang, gang.
It didn't work out. It was just a few days later. Tiny Tim got shot. He went 204, and he had 11. Jesus. He had an 11 and a quarter or 11 and an eighth left base.
11 around. Think 11 about
around.
It.
So I got a question. Why did you call him Tiny Tim?
Hey, hold on real quick.
Because he was.
Because he wasn't tiny.
Clint Casper just joined us via phone. So Clint's jumping right into the story. We're talking big bucks, Clint. So shut your mouth, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't. That's not really my jam, but I guess I'll like listen and scroll on Facebook because that's nothing I'm really interested in. But go ahead, Ross, tell a story about something I don't care about.
I end up letting him go. We let him go.
Let me stop you.
Yeah.
You said 11 inches
around
the base.
The base.
Yeah. Like Steve Stifler.
I'm interested.
Oh, you back? You're in?
I'm interested. I'm in. We're talking about girth. I'm in. Yeah.
You don't know about that.
Yeah, this is another conversation you need to be in.
We should have named him Steve Stifler because he was 11 inches around. So. Anyways,
he had a tree growing out of the left side of
his head. He had three main beams off the left. No shit. I can show you a picture. So, and actually my favorite picture of all time. He's a freak. So him and Showtime, who ended up killing November 30th, they were both standing together. Showtime went 207. He went 204.
Gow.
That's about it. So best trail cam picture ever in my life, obviously, and probably forever.
I don't know if I've seen that trail camera picture.
I don't show it very often.
I don't think I have either. You need that frame in the new man cave.
You don't
cave.
Even show us.
It'll be on a canvas in the man cave.
So. Yeah, you definitely got to do that. Is it like a decent photo, like quality-wise?
It's fucking epic.
Well, so I mean, megapixels. Is it like an old cuttyback flash? Or
it's a good picture.
Yeah.
But what are the odds of two 200 inches together and they both get killed that year?
Yeah,
and not by you.
I'm raising my hand. Just someone calling.
Clint, go ahead, Clint. Go ahead, Clint.
What does this 204, 207? Are we referring to like inches of like from head to tail, or is that pounds, or what
tall.
Are you guys actually
from?
Can
tall.
Someone fill from, me in on what we're talking
from
about?
From ground to, like, ground to nose.
It's his IQ level.
Oh, that makes okay. Continue on. I was confused on what we were talking about. Now. Continue on.
It was gross score on both of them. So
that's a dude.
Gross.
What are the
gross? That's sick.
That's unreal to have two bucks like that.
Yeah.
In one fucking picture.
And then they both get killed that year.
It's unreal to have two bucks like that living within 100 square miles of each other.
You know what's I guess the best part that warms my heart about the whole thing is this camera I had ran for years and the LCD screen had quit on it. It was a Moultrie IR-1500.
Yeah.
And the LCD screen quit. But I just knew from years in the past, took D batteries. Like, it's a freaking giant.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking. I have one.
Yeah. So I just put the batteries in every year, and I know all my settings are good.
You still
I just turn the damn thing on.
Let
and
it
just,
roll.
It flashes a red light. I'm like, she's good. I mean, I have no Send clue. It. I have no clue when I roll up to that camera how many pictures it took, if batteries are dead or what. I just
pop the card out,
and I start clicking through, you know. And, picture by picture, and then all of a sudden, boom, I'm like, holy shit.
Dude, I feel bad that I forget, because I know we talked about this buck, but the buck you're talking about, the one you killed, that's the full-bodied one,
that's
right?
That's the full-body.
Right, yeah. Okay.
That's Showtime.
Insane.
I kind of thought he was Showtime. Like, it's Showtime.
Oh, yeah,
looks
of course.
Awesome. When you walk into Ross's man cave now, you look up, and a lot of deer don't look real flattering when you look up at them.
Yeah,
but this one's got this huge can opener coming right out of the middle of his forehead, like a 13 inches long and over an inch in girth, and just sprouting from the middle of his forehead. And it just, like, Ross has got the light shining down on him, and it's just like...
Ross showed me a picture of it up there in the corner. You can tell he's an electrician because he's got this spotlight just
beaming on him.
Man, that was an expensive spotlight.
Right, as soon as you walk in.
Worth it.
So, 4,000 lumens.
Ross, let's get caught up, though, with you completely. I mean, you have one you're watching now that, right?
There's about four of them that could, and a possible six, but I haven't seen the other one. So
break us down your number one right now. Does he have a name? You're a namer.
I am a namer, but nobody's until the one that I'm hoping, the two that I'm saying aren't there yet. I haven't seen them. If they show up, then I'll have some names for them.
Okay, the one that you sent the group, the OGs,
the buck with no name.
Yeah, he'd be an offspring.
Can I name him?
You can name him.
You know what we're gonna call him?
Try it.
400.
400. That'd be cool.
Because we talked about him on 400.
On 400.
That way, if you do kill him one day, everybody will know.
I like that. We'd go with that. Yeah, because I've had some other ones. I'm like, nah, it's stupid. I'm not going to name him that.
That's dumb. 400.
All the deer.
But no, he's out there, and he's hard and strong. So
yeah,
I'd like to.
All the deer in your man cave need a little name tag.
Yeah.
Cattle ear tags.
Yeah, we can do that.
Ear tag them.
Yeah, on all your mounts.
Brand them.
Let's get caught up with you this season there, Austin, the Lord.
Yeah, I've been having some fun. I'm trying something new this year, so I've picked up the longbow and been flinging some arrows with Ballsy. That. So just kind of a totally different outlook on what I'm normally doing. But like the other night, I got done working and there was an hour of light left. So I told the old lady, I'm like, let's just go sit in the redneck. So she had dinner already made. She was bringing it to the combine. I happened to get done early enough. So we went, we had Budweiser and cheeseburgers. And the longbow.
It's a good night.
Went and sat in the redneck. And
it's like so fitting.
Oh, no, dude, that's such a redneck thing to do.
It was awesome.
That's some goals right there.
Oh, I told her, I'm like, it's warm enough. These deer aren't going to be out early. Like, we're going to be fine. We got up in the blind. 20 minutes later, the first little buck comes out. And we ended up having like 10 deer in the plot. But a group of does came out. And I tried a 30-yard shot sitting down inside the redneck, and you try to draw a longbow that's 62 inches long inside of a redneck, dude. It's an art in itself.
Hey, what's the axle to axle on that?
62.
What axle?
Yeah. Wheels are for cars.
Wheels are for cars.
Wheels are for cars.
So that was fun anyways, but I did get the shot off, and I got the arrow out towards her, but it was dark enough, like I couldn't even see where it went, but I missed her. So
clean.
Yeah, so clean that was missed. That was one, and then I was telling you the story before we started the podcast, but I was firing up the combine, I think it was yesterday morning, and it was cold and really windy. And I looked off the end rows, and there's a deer coming right at me. I thought it was a doe. So I'm like, well, I'll get down. My truck's right next to my combine. Grab the longbow. I run around and get in the standing corn that's right on the edge of the cut corn.
Yeah.
And this deer, it happens to be a spike. It comes 5 yards right by me. Just looking at my combine the whole way, I'm like, man, that would have been perfect if it was a doe.
Right, right.
Yeah. What?
So I'm getting close on him. And then I got – I went and hunted a great big scrape line. I think it was the second we got some rain.
Yep.
I went in and hunted like 3 or 4 scrapes and had 3 different bucks within 10 yards of me. I mean, I'm like, it could happen out of this tree with a longbow for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I'm putting them right where I want them, but just never anything big enough. But I think out of that spot, it could happen.
Dude, the longbow's a commitment.
Are you committed to just using longbow?
I'm going
to
try. I mean, until something really bad happens to me, which when I miss a 190 with it, I'll probably have to put it back in the corner. But
right.
No, I'm having fun with it. I mean, I've always wanted to do it, and I'm just in the mindset this year that I'm just going to go out and try it and have fun. And
right,
I don't have any desire to pick up the compound right now.
That's cool, man, because we talked. I mean, we might have already talked about this on a podcast, but you and I talked in person for sure. It's like you've done in the whitetail game for – you know, regular bow hunting, you know, I guess modern day bow hunting, you've kind of got one of everything. You've done a little bit of it all. I mean, dude, if you guys follow us, you've seen a panoramic like view of your man cave. There's not much you don't have. So is that the reason? It's like you see this as like a new chapter?
Yeah, it's not like I can't go back to the compound if I want to. I mean, I can pick it back up whenever I want to, but I've just always wanted to try this, and like I'm not getting any younger. And talking with Shad, I mean, he's so passionate and into it. It's like it's kind of got me to fall in love with this traditional side of things. So
it's that scratch. You just got to itch.
Yeah, and I just want to try it, and I've always dreamed about sitting behind a 160-inch buck with the longbow draped in front of him. What? So that's what I want to do.
You said that backwards. But I'm following you. So that scratch, you got an itch?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
I'm picking up what you're putting
down. Hey,
scratch, you got an itch, bro.
Clint, I know, you know, fuck you, Clint. You're too successful. You know, you go kill a big over the counter bull. You go come home, you're just like willy nilly. There's 160 inch white.
I kind of forgot he was even on the phone.
Yeah, Clint's been a good
willy,
boy.
Willy nilly. I like that. That's good.
So bring us up to speed with you, man. I know, we've already covered this on an episode, but just to, if someone missed it, bring us up to speed till now.
Yeah, man, started off in Colorado. That was a complete disaster. Just weather and bad luck on timing there with the snow and the storms blowing in and closing roads and all that shit. So my 14-day hunt turned into 3 days of scouting and about a day and 3/4 of hunting, and then it was time to evacuate. So
you got some good Instagram photos, I bet, though, so that's good. That's worth it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a probably the most fun 26-hour drive home by myself that I'll ever experience. That was pretty much about as painful as it gets without cutting my own arms and legs off with a fucking butter knife. So that was fun.
Great times.
So yeah. So I let myself be a bitch and basically like get upset and mad the whole way home. And I was like, all right, the minute you hit your driveway, Colorado's in the rear view. You got Utah over the counter, public land tag coming up next. Knew that was going to be a tough hunt. I mean, they always are, but especially on an over the counter unit that anyone in the world can go to Walmart and buy a tag for. So I got home and I was like, all right, we're done with Colorado. As painful as that was, we're going to leave that in the past. Now we're on to Utah. So then 8 days later, I go to Utah, grinded it out there, and freaking luck plus some little bit of perseverance and just some patience, got lucky and scored out there on a really, really good old herd bull. Probably the best over the counter tag bull I'll ever kill. Unless I get like super lucky somewhere, but I probably won't ever kill another over the counter
bull. Full details on episode 398.
398, yeah. Yep. Definitely won't probably ever kill one as old as that bull. That was kind of damn near almost a once in a lifetime bull over the counter for me. Came home on a Thursday. Our season started Saturday. So I came home, was back in Ohio for like a day and a half, and then jumped right into whitetails and pretty much wanted to kill. I had two bucks from last year that were both on the same farm. Either one of them wanted to kill one of those two. I knew they were both at least five or six this year, if not older. Had a lot of history with them last year. Hunted them both hard last year. Got my ass kicked by them both last year. Never drew my bow on either one of them last year. They both shed late, shifted gears, and then killed that old buck that I killed last year late. But that's the only reason why I ended up killing him is just because he was the next buck up after, you know, these two both shed. So
yeah,
first night of season would have been Saturday. The buck I ended up killing, I saw him. He was at like 80, no shot, skirted me, but he came out of this thicket that I pretty much kind of had him pinned down all summer, kind of figured out what he was doing, where he was staying. And I was like, shit, man, like, you know, right off the get-go, like, here we go, you know. And then ended up killing him six sits later. Yeah, it would have been 7 days later, but the one day I skipped, I had the kids. So six hunts later would have taken us to the following Friday and ended up killing him at 47. First night in with the Clyde arrow, first night in after, you know, kind of after that all took place. So, yeah, probably until Easton and Keaton kill their first deer, I would say that will probably be the most memorable whitetail hunt I ever go on just because of the circumstances, the arrow, the first night in. Just,
yeah,
you know, really didn't even want to be there, to be totally honest with you, but something just told me, fuck, man, I need to go to a tree. You know, the conditions are right. You know, I guess it is what it is. And, it all came together out of nowhere and was able to poke him at 47 and get him killed. So it was, it's going to be hard for me to top that one as far as just – a memory on a special buck. That's probably going to take the cake until my kids start killing deer. That's for sure.
Yeah. So now it's a stud too.
Now we're present.
Well,
yeah, I think he's like 158. So yeah, you know, damn near 160. He's only 14 inches wide, but he's got 25 inch beams.
It's a stud, dude. That's not
bad for a coos.
Yeah,
buck.
He's
a pretty good coos buck.
Yeah, no doubt. Solid coos buck. Hell yeah. I was stoked with him, man. I was super pumped.
Well, for people, you know, I know 398, we cover like that elk in crazy detail. Yep. We cover everything in crazy detail. It was a one-on-one between you and I, if you guys already haven't heard it.
Yep.
And
yep.
We got really drunk and just talked. So it was cool.
Yeah, we did.
Well, congrats, cool. Dude. You're murdering. So you're done in Ohio. You're just kind of doing your thing. You could have drove out here. You have no excuses for not being in studio. So.
I'm done in Ohio right now, saving up time. Susie's in town a lot. Shout out to Susie. Susie's been hunting.
Susie's getting some podcast attention. She must be a treat.
Yeah. Susie's a real deal, homie. She's hunting a giant out here with me. We found a really big mainframe eight that'll probably be in the 150s. So she's been hunting him hard. So it's been fun to, kind of check cameras and you know, she lives in Pennsylvania, so she's been coming over and hunting. And then I was trying to help Emily, you know, she ended up killing that fucking giant, the freak, the other night, so that was super cool, man, to be able to help her.
Fucking giant is an understatement.
Oh, dude, right. Like people don't even realize, I mean, I took the photos for her. I was there the night she found it. You know, got to be there for the whole experience. And I mean, we talked about that buck for 2 years straight. Like, me and Emily shot her. I mean, we are BFFs. We talk every day, damn near every hour of every day. And it's literally bow hunting. And I mean, I have the amount of map study, trail cam photos, and homework that I have done with her on that buck, a buck that I would never hunt. Hundreds of hours. That's all we've talked about for 2 years. Mm. And for her to finally pull it together and kill that buck the way she did, I mean, just fucking so proud of her. I mean, she definitely the
most underrated female in the whitetail world right now.
Oh, dude, she's a real. I mean, there's a couple of them out there that are just absolute killers, and I get to call quite a few of them that are like that, best friends. I mean, I'm best friends with some absolute, you know,
that's ironic,
lady killers. Emily's freaking one of them. You know, there's very few. Hate to say it, but there's very few women out there that actually, you know, even guys nowadays, to be honest with you, but there's very few that realistically can walk into a room, whether it's a taxidermy shop or a bar, and can talk. I don't care if it's, you want to talk bows, talk how to tune one, talk how to set one up. You want to talk strategies on how to kill a big buck. You want to talk thermals. You want to talk funnels. You want to talk pinch points. You want to talk saddles. You want to talk DIY hunts. You want to talk public land hunting. I mean, like, Emily is one of those freaking chicks, man. Emily's one of those chicks, and Susie's one of those chicks. Like, yeah. I mean, she's hunting. She's killing 140, 150 bucks in Pennsylvania. And, dude, I mean, I've hunted PA. It's like public land everywhere you go. I mean, there's no such thing as unpressured deer over there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's crazy, man. But they're out there. Like, those people are out there that are just, they're just grinding and killing stuff, and they don't really care about, like, the fame and fortune of it, and honestly just doing it the way they should. So, yeah, hats off to Emily, though, man. Super stoked to be part of that.
Yeah, that's cool, man. It was cool to kind of be in contact with you behind the scenes, like, seeing the trail cam photo, and then you're like, dude, I'm going to help Emily recover this deer, like, monster. And you sent me a couple, like,
fucking giant.
Once you recovered it, you sent me a few photos of it laying there. I'm like, my God.
I told her in photos, I'm like, that deer is going to be as big as Extra. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, that deer will be as big as my biggest, if not bigger. And he's 191. And that deer was, we taped it at 190 and 2/8. So literally, I mean, it's fucking right. I told her, I was like, I'm telling you, I'm like, that deer is going to break 190. I'm like, it's a frame.
That is so nuts.
The frame is so,
well, it's unbelievable. It's impressive for a deer that doesn't have a lot of non-typical inches to break 190. No, and that deer doesn't have very many non-typical inches.
Go back to our road trip podcast to Wyoming. He's framey.
He's very framey. Framey.
And the brow tines are just miles high.
I would almost rather have a buck that doesn't break 200 that is framey like that. Like the Geyer buck is framey. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That buck is the Geyer buck with way bigger brows.
Oh, dude, it's a mainframe 10 with, like, caribou shovels up front for brow tines.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's a mainframe 10 with 25.5-inch beams. It's got stupid mass. It's almost 25 wide. I mean, it's
inside, right?
It's nuts how big the frame on this deer is. Yeah. I mean, just 25
is insane. That's what makes him look so big. The brow tines and a 25-inch spread. He's just huge.
Isn't that buck like 24 or something inside?
Yeah, he was 24 and what the hell? I'm the one that did
inside. Seeing that coming.
I think it was 24 and a quarter, or 24 and 3/8, something like that, on the inside.
That's that adds to your score. For the record, it's not greatest spread. I can't remember. I think the Geyer buck is. Fuck, it's been so long since I've, like, looked at that score sheet. I think a 24, 25 inside.
Yeah.
Then I think he's got 20. I think he has a 27 and a 29 or a 28-inch beam.
Man. That's stupid.
A 14-inch two. Just insane. Like, that's a mainframe 8-pointer at 191 is what that buck went.
Yeah. That's, I mean, just nuts, dude. So that was, I mean, that was really cool to be able to be here for that. I'm glad I wasn't on a hunt. I'm glad I was here to, you know, I mean, I talked to her early that day. She got pictures of him in a new spot. And I mean, I don't want to get into it.
We still,
she's going to talk to it, but it just the story behind it that day, how it all plays out, like, it's just I was like part of the whole day. Like, it was just cool that the way it panned out, it's really cool. We're going to do a podcast on it. It's going to be badass. Like, her telling the story and just how it all pans out. But so no, that was cool as hell. But no, man, we just taking crops off. Spent a lot of time with the kiddos. They've been in the combines and we've been planting wheat and whatnot. You know, I got one buck tag left in Utah. I leave the, 11th through the 19th. I'll be out in Utah chasing the rut out there for muleys on public. So I'll get to hook up with probably Devin quite a bit on that one, hopefully. And, run around the mountains and chase rutting bucks and, got a few doe tags left. And yeah, man, no, just been ton of farming and ton of stuff with the kids. I got to tell this Easton story real quick. So for those of you who don't know, I got a 4-year-old Easton. Keaton's my youngest. He's 2. They're both wild. I don't know where they get it from. Don't fucking blame me.
No one knows.
Yeah, they're just born like cocaine in their veins or something, whatever motivates you. I don't know what the hell. I got to get whatever motivation syrup you drink for breakfast. I got to get some of that.
We're going to blame it on Danielle, their mother. We're going to blame it on that's why they are the way they are. But so
do you guys just like wire like Red Bull or what's going on?
Dude, I don't know.
You know what it is? I'll compare it to this and I'll say it for you because you'll never say this. You know how like Ted Nugent is like high on life
all the time?
Like the dude is like, he's what it is he's passionate.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how you are about hunting. So that's like where when you turn on a Clint Casper podcast, you get passion. And honestly, passion makes you, excited for shit.
Well, yeah, you're not wrong, because when you talk to Clint about anything else, he's not like all wild and Buck
like,
Willie.
Yeah, he's like, I'm at work. Yeah, all calm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like
Buck Willie.
Yeah, Buck Willie. It's talking about.
That's what it is. Know, it's passion, right?
Kids, like, oh, yeah. Like bow hunting and my kids. I mean, like that puts a smile on my face immediately. But yeah, I'll make this story.
I had to give you shit, Clint, just because you're always wrong for sound.
For sure. So
he's just like, yep, you're right. I am.
I can't deny it. My little guy, he burned his hand. He grabbed this like hot coal out of the fire that was in the grass that nobody saw, picked it up. So he's got this big blister on his hand, right? So Danielle calls me at work. She's like, hey, I'm going to take him to the ER, you know, whatever. I was like, all right, you know, and she's already on her way up. She's like, it's not a big deal, but you know, they're going to want to check him out, whatever. So they're like, hey, you know, you guys got to wrap this hand with gauze, keep it clean. They gave us a special ointment, like not a huge deal, but you know, kind of a big deal. Well, he doesn't act like he really cares. It's just like, whatever. So tonight, I'm like, hey, before I take you back to your mom's, I'm like, Easton, I'm like, you need to help me. I'm like, we're going to rewrap Keaton's hand. You know, he's like, okay. So I start, you know, rewrapping his hand and Keaton does really good with it. Like, I don't know how, cause it looks like it hurts like hell, but he just acts like it doesn't slow him down. He's fine, whatever. So I'm wrapping his hand, you know, and, Easton's like, hey dad, he's like, I got to tell you something. I'm like, okay. And I'm like paying attention to like what I'm doing, but I'm like listening to Easton. And I like see out of the corner of my eyes, he takes his glasses off and he's got this like serious look on his face. I'm like, yeah, what's up, buddy? I got Keaton on my lap and Easton sitting across from me. He's like, I don't think we need to do this. He's like, I don't think we need to wrap this hand. And I'm like, well, yeah, we have to. Like the doctor told us, you know, that's what we got to do. He's like, no. He's like, I don't think we need to do that. I'm like, well, why would you think that, buddy? He's like, Dad, he goes, Keaton and I aren't no pussies. We're savages. And at that moment in time, I literally thought, like, I didn't know whether I needed to yell at him or go crack a beer open and hand it to him and say, here, son, you deserve this.
You earned it.
What am I raising?
Dad, oh, my God.
That's what you call a chip off the old block right there.
Oh, dude, I was just like, oh,
how old is Easton?
Easton is 4. He turned 4 in May.
That's amazing.
And I'm just like, dear God, like,
you're in trouble,
I need to quit talking so loud in front of him because I'm just like, that's like something I would, you know, totally 100% say. But I was just like, Jesus,
that's where he heard it, man.
Yeah, he didn't make that up.
No, yeah,
because you would never say anything like that.
No, I'm gonna blame it on Danielle, but again,
Clint says that to himself before he goes to bed every night. You ain't no pussy, you're a savage, and goes to bed.
He's like, flexing. Oh, shit. I was just like, I can't even be mad at you right now. I can't even be mad at you said that. Because he said it straight face, like, Dad, I got to tell you something. He takes his glasses off. Like, I'm like, man, this is really serious, whatever he's going to say, you know? And just straight face, serious, wow. Like, didn't crack a smile. Like, he was, like, dead. So he's like, Well, you don't need to do that, Dad. He's like, Keaton and I aren't. We aren't pussies. We're savages. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
He's going to be a welder. What have I done? Save money on a scholarship there, bud, or any effort in college. He's a welder. He's going to work on a pipeline with our old boy Chance out there.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Man, that's horrifying. You'll be a grandpa when he's like 14.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the good news is, Kurt, is that means me and you will see a lot of each other because you know where the girlfriend's going to be.
Fuck. I walked right into that one.
You did.
I walked right the fuck into that one. You walked into the hammer. All right. Bravo. Hey, Easton's a savage. All right.
I'm sorry, but you opened the fucking door and I ran right through it full force on that one, chugging two beers with no clothes on.
Hey. Here's the thing. I'll be on that farm in Ohio killing 190s every.
Well, this is true. I mean, I will probably have to share a little bit.
There is a trade-off. Deal.
There is a trade-off.
Hey, part of that Casper farm just became the Geyer farm, so let's figure that out.
This is true. I could probably share a little bit.
All right.
Now you got to deal with the in-laws.
Yeah, what up?
In-laws.
I'm here to kill your deer. How bad you want to be on a podcast? Yeah.
You in or you out?
You in or you out? What's up? All right, so here's what I want to do right now. And you guys, everyone in here is either going to love me or hate me. I just wrote all these down.
Well, we already hate you, so.
Well, then you're going to have to love me.
There's only one option there.
Yeah, walking into them here, walking in blind. I got to keep my guard up. 400 doesn't mean I can just relax. I'm going to bring up classic controversial topics in the whitetail game. And these are all things we already have covered, and I'm sure we've all answered differently versus our mindset at the time. What we were feeling that year at the time, but I'm bringing up, I just jotted down like a handful, and feel free to bring them up as we go along. When I say classic controversial topics.
I'm hoping I already know one of these.
I got a feeling on a couple.
I'm going to hit the first one right off the top. Broadheads.
Okay.
Yep.
We're going to start there.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is just something that gets argued about on every forum, every Facebook group, anything internet, people are arguing. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go with what we're feeling right now.
Here's the argument. Yeah, what we're feeling in this moment. And this might change. A year ago,
you might have... on your buck, Kurt. I mean, fucking Clint. Jesus Christ.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate you for that.
They're in-laws, so yeah, you can call me.
By the way, catching up to season, Papa Dave did kill a really big buck on October 9th.
Yeah, he Papa did. Dave too. Fuck yes, he did. Papa Dave's a stud.
Love to get Papa Dave on and talk about that.
What kind of broadheads was he shooting?
Great segue.
God damn, Ross.
We're talking fixed blades or expandables because that's the traditional argument we're going in. And Papa Dave killed his buck with a expandable Slick Trick Raptor Trick, which I think is a great broadhead.
Yep.
And when I say we're talking broadhead, we're talking broadheads for whitetails only. Nothing else.
Whitetails only broadheads. Hmm.
And I'm going to just pick somebody randomly. Out of this group to give their opinion first because I don't want to fucking do it first.
You need a little board with all our names on it. Yeah. Just spin it.
I need a little spin. We're going to go Ross Bigger. There it is.
Right. Okay.
Pick me.
Okay, Ross Bigger.
Come on down.
All right, here we go.
Let me set the stage here.
$1, bro.
Set it. We're at a bar.
$1, Bob.
I'm overly cocky because I'm telling you about the 8-pointer I passed last year.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm going to tell you, only shoot fixed blades because you can't trust expandables. That's bullshit.
They don't open.
You hit a piece of grass, one of the blades opens and you're fucked. Hit it in the guts, never find it.
I shot one with a rage, couldn't find it, didn't open.
Couldn't find it. Fuck the collar on those sons of bitches. You can't trust them.
Fixed blade. They got no collars now, asshole.
Yeah, they got no collars now. Still bullshit. So you got blades flopping around, never going to find them. Fixed blade, you shoot right through anything, bone, all that.
Concrete block.
I saw a guy shoot through a barrel with a fixed blade. So
I saw two shoot through a truck one time.
Yeah,
pass so, through.
You're at a bar because you know that happens at bars every night,
all the time,
and especially in the Midwest.
No kidding. God, I love this segment. Right, we're doing right now. This is great.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm gonna go one way or the other for sure.
Okay,
but I'll start off being kind of open on it. I've shot. I'm just saying.
Classic.
I mean, I've shot them both.
Right.
I've shot them both, and I've killed
them both. We all have.
I mean, I swap back and forth. I might even, mid-season, every other day, I don't care. I might swap bows every other day. I don't care. I play lots of different stuff, but I'd say for the expandables, yeah, if you hit the right spot, it's deadly. It's nasty. I mean, you're 5 gallon buckets of blood everywhere.
Yeah.
I've killed more deer with a fixed broadhead. That's a slick trick viper trick. That's been my go-to forever.
Damn good head.
And bears, and we're not talking bears, sorry, but I'm just saying lots of animals have died behind a...
Bigger animals than a whitetail.
A viper trick. So that's been my go-to, and they fly the best. I like them. Expandables, yeah, there's always that, what if they open, you hit a blade of grass, you shoot through the side of your blind, you whatever. Don't shake your head. I like expandables. They'll make a mess. I mean, in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back and forth. So
consistently, if you're going to put $1 million on one head or the other, what way are you leaning?
Slick trick, viper trick.
The fixed blade.
Yep.
Fixed blade.
Fair. Yep.
That's where I'm at. I mean, I haven't seen anything to make me want to go 100%. The other
direction. So if it came down to it, you're a fixed blade guy.
Yeah.
All right. Let me write that down.
but I'm not going to say the first time I go to the stand this year, I'm not shooting a viper or a raptor trick. I mean.
Well, what is it? It's one or the other.
I'd like to change shit up.
Just pick one.
But the thing about it is I can tell you.
he's got both in his quiver. Just
I can tell you
every other.
One. Here's the deal.
Pick
I can tell you there's.
Ross, any meaning, money, mo.
I can tell you that there has been several deer that have ended up dying or ended up dying actually pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But, what's the name of those broadheads? I just can't think of them right now.
Rage.
Nope.
Muzzy.
Nope.
G5.
Oh, Eli Morgan. Levi Schwacker. Morgan shoots them.
Schwacker.
Thank you. Schwacker.
It was like, Schwacker!
I got on Schwacker.
Five shot through a cinder block.
I got on Schwacker years ago. I thought, man, this is going to be the nuts.
I mean, I killed one of my biggest deer with a Schwacker.
Okay. So now what? And now, honestly, what it comes down to is you're shooting for the exit hole.
Yep.
And I got a deer 160 quartered away at 15 yards, quartered away walking by me, and I smash him right through the lungs. And guess where it goes? In the offside shoulder.
Yeah.
I had a 3/4-inch entry hole. That deer's dead on his feet for 150 yards. He walks all the way up the hill, a huge hill. And then walks along the whole ridge, it's a big, great big ridge, and disappears. I'm like, how is he still moving? And turns around, comes back all the way to where he topped that hill, dies, and rolls down the hill right to me. And I walked over there like little to no blood at all.
Yeah. That makes sense.
There you go. It's a 3/4 entry. You're supposed to have a 2-inch exit. Didn't have the exit. Boom.
There you go. Not left with much.
It just depends. I mean, every broadhead depends on how you hit that deer. It could be a 5-gallon bucket gusher.
That's the main issue, right? Yeah. In all of this, no matter what head you like, that's the problem.
Well, where are you going to hit
shot,
the deer?
Shot placement and make sure your blades are sharp. So I made the mistake as a beginning hunter. I would shoot a broadhead, practice with or whatever, and then use it to hunt with. I mean, obviously we know better than that now, but if you're new to the game, make sure you're shooting brand new heads, razor sharp.
Yeah.
If you're shooting a sharp head and you hit the animal in the right spot, it doesn't matter what you're shooting, it's going to die.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Shot placement is number one in this whole argument. Fuck everything else.
That's what I'm coming down placement. To. I changed my shit up just because I like to change things.
And I brought the question up just to stir up the conversation.
Mm.
And I'm going to pick Clint Casper next because I know this dude's like grinding his teeth.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for him.
He just slammed 14 Busch Lights in this conversation.
And like 2 24-ounce Red Bulls. I don't know if they make those, but they should.
Oh, God. I hate Red Bull.
Monsters. Monsters.
No. No.
Whatever.
Coffee. I don't know what you do.
Bangs.
Bangs. Man, I've got off the energy drink kick. Actually, you guys will make fun of me.
God.
So if it's not straight water or beer, I do like milk. I drink those.
Fuck you, Clint.
I drink milk.
Oh, yeah. I love milk. Fuck, man. Third generation dairy farmer.
Love a good whole milk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. But I actually like those as gay as it sounds. Those fucking bubblies, those sparkling water deals. I actually like Jesus. Those fucking things.
Hey,
but, okay, so.
Anyways,
I've had the gays come after me for saying the F word before.
Yeah,
so, no disrespect. What's up?
Aside, But I think it needs stated, and I mean, this is, you guys will be like, oh yeah, that's a Clint comment. I don't care whether you shoot a field point, a fixed blade, an expandable. My biggest thing is it's all comes down to shot placement, like we've all agreed on, and that all comes down to one thing, and that is fucking confidence. So if you are confident in a Sever 1.5, which is my go-to head, it's been that way for 3 years now. I tested them before they came out. I've shot them since they've been out. Still my favorite head. Everything I've killed in the last 3 years have been with that broadhead. I have absolute confidence. Doesn't matter what distance. I will kill it with that broadhead. 100%. No questions asked. But if I'm a fixed blade guy, it's going to be because I have absolute, total, 100% confidence. Because if you are confident and you draw that bow back, you bend the limbs back, and in your head you're thinking, if you let me get back to full draw in plain words, motherfucker, you're dying. If you are not in that mind frame with that mindset because of your broadhead, you shouldn't be shooting it. 100%. You need to be, without a doubt, total confidence in your setup, because a confident guy at full draw is going to make good shots because he's not doubting himself. He's not doubting anything. The guy that's back at full draw going, oh God, I can't center a rib with this broadhead. It might deflect off, or, oh God, it's kind of quartering a little bit. What if I don't get what I want on that opposite side? Or, oh God, if you're sitting there thinking about that shit, you're not making good shots.
You're done for.
That's a good point.
A good solid.
A good, you're just not.
A good solid hunter sees the deer that he, or we're talking deer, sees the deer he wants to kill coming in, and then all those antlers blur out.
Yep.
And you're focused on your shot, and you make that shot. You don't let your nerves get the best of you.
Going into this, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier when I drew back on that doe, and in my head I was like, oh, you're so fucked. Like, it's there. And Cam Haynes kind of even touches on this. Like, when an animal comes in, you draw back, like, you know the thing's going to die. But I do remember, like, starting hunting, I remember drawing back on deer going, I hope I hit it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that, that wasn't, it was just a lack of experience, right? Like, I was green.
Yep.
And a lot of it's learning, like, confidence and being in the pressure of the moment, drawing back, settling where you know you need to aim versus the distance and the animal's behavior, confidence on shot execution. And then it's once you hit the animal, it's burying your eyesight until you can't see that thing anymore, and you have enough experience in how the animal behaved on how you're going
to
recover
that. And that goes right back to go shoot your bow. You say it every episode. I mean, it's just how it goes. So if you shoot your bow, I know that if you go shoot your bow enough and you practice enough, when the heat of the moment comes in and the animal's moving there, you don't even remember pulling back, squeezing that release. I mean, any of that. You just go through the shot sequence,
which is
exactly what you need. And if you don't pull your bow out before October 1st and practice, then you go into it and all your nerves get the best of you.
Because you're thinking about everything.
Here's the thing I like to eliminate, and this is the thing that happens with everybody, the, I don't know what happened. And that does happen no matter – sometimes it can happen no matter how prepared you are. Like, weird shit does happen.
Yep.
Like, I live that. But if you can do everything you can to eliminate the, I don't know what the fuck happened. I drew back and I don't know what happened. It's like, well, if you can prevent that, you're doing really well by yourself, and you're going to be more successful.
Yeah, I agree. Because you have, like, the where to go.
You're shooting at a live animal. You're not shooting at a target. So the animal's going to react. You're going to have little branches and shit that can jump out. There's always going to be an unknown variable when you're bow hunting. That's just part of the sport. But like Clint says, when you have confidence, I mean, that's 95% of the recipe. That really eliminates a lot of the problems that can happen.
Yeah, exactly. So cutting to it, Clint, and now that we've – and kind of, I got these topics. I'm going to pick somebody to hone in on it, and then we'll kind of go in there. But Clint, would you say you're a fixed or an expandable man? For the record, I'm writing these down.
Nope. Whitetail, because I know we're just talking whitetail right now. 100%, absolutely expandable all the way. I mean,
oh,
I'm
wow.
not aiming.
I had the other way.
My biggest thing is where people get in trouble and they immediately blame it on an expandable, and I hear this all the time. oh, I hit him in the fucking shoulder. Okay, here's the thing, dude. If you're not shooting 80 pounds with a 32-inch draw at 340 feet per second with a 500-grain arrow, you're not touching getting through that shoulder anyway if you dead center punch it. And I will argue with anybody out there because I have filmed guys bounce muzzleloader sabots off a deer's shoulders, does, and we don't find her, and she's on camera 3 days later feeding in an alfalfa field.
Yep.
So, I mean, now, I'm not saying you can't get through the backside, the front side, maybe the top, maybe part of the bottom, but if you dead center punch the softball center, the softball center of a deer's shoulder, you are fucked. 99 out of 100 times with an arrow, you are fucked.
Yep. You're right, man.
Doesn't matter what broadhead you're shooting, you're
fucked.
I
don't give a shit. Yeah, I don't care what broadhead. So my pro on expandables are you have a giant hole typically going in and going out if you hit the deer correct. Now, if you hit it bad, because I have shot deer mid-body, left, right, mid-body, up and down. You're in the liver, you're in the guts. But here's the deal. You don't push them. You've got a 2-inch by 1-inch hole through the center of their body. They go 100 yards, bed down. You come in the next day. The only thing you got to worry about is coyotes getting them. Yep. The deer's dead. They will. It's over. It's dead.
That's my exact...
You get out of your stand. You walk back to your truck. You call your buddies. You drink a beer. You take a couple freaking sleeping pills. You go to bed that night. You wake up in the morning. Your fucking deer is going to be within 200 yards. I guarantee it.
That's my exact philosophy on shot placement for a deer.
Middle of the middle.
I aim for lung, liver. And if I happen to be a little far to the right, it sounds unethical, but that deer is going to die.
He's dead.
Leave him alone. That fucking deer with a rage or whatever expandable.
I don't care what it is.
It is cleaning that deer out. That deer is dead within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Everybody wants to hold tight to that shoulder. And I'm like, people, the lungs, if you look at the anatomy of a deer, a real anatomy, most of the lungs don't even sit up inside. Now, yes, your heart, yes, it is tucked up in there. But 3/4 of your lungs are sitting back anyway, 6-7 inches. Everybody wants to hold tight to that fucking shoulder. The only spot on a deer where if you hit it, you are one. I would rather shoot a deer flat out in the hip. I will take my chances on hitting the veins and arteries in a hip all day over that shoulder. It's the only place on a deer besides the no-bow zone, which for those who don't know that no-bow zone, I'm talking about 2 inches below the spine and a few inches above the organs to where there's absolutely nothing there to kill them. It's no-bow zone. There's nothing there to kill them, nothing vital. It's not going to bleed out. Your arrow goes in, goes out, and that's it. It's over. Besides that, the only other spot is literally you hit him in the leg or the ankle or the shoulder. Like, stay away from the shoulder. Hit him anywhere in the midsection, the middle of the middle. The deer's dead.
You hit him from the armpit to the dick with an expandable.
Absolutely.
They're fucking done.
Absolutely.
And I have to clarify, like, for some people, it sounds wrong, but we're talking dead animals
here. Shit happens.
You fuck up, it happens. It's part of the game.
I'm not saying deliberately gut shoot deer.
When I
aim my natural aiming point on a broadside deer, I go from the armpit, I'm back 4, 5, 6 inches.
Yeah.
Like I'm at the back of the lungs when I'm shooting at a deer. That way I know if something fucks up and I go into the towards the shoulder, I've got 3 or 4 inches to play with.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I bet you 95% of the time you watch your deer fall from your tree stand when you hit them where you're
aiming. Yeah, I mean, most of the time I'm hitting double lung.
Yeah.
But I did it 2 years ago. I shot a deer, made a bad shot, hit him on the opposite shoulder. Me and Doug went after him. Never found him.
If I
heart shoot a deer, it's because I'm cleaning everything else out and getting the heart on the way out. Like, I will never aim at the heart on a deer.
I would agree with that. I almost always aim safe double lung.
Yep.
Safe double lung would probably be the perfect term for it, actually.
I don't shoot an expandable, honestly, because it's any better than fixed. Like, because if you hit a fixed blade, double lung, and you hit an expandable double lung, guess what? They both are fucking dead deer walking as they take off.
Yep. Yeah,
but 100%. Where I like an expandable is when I fuck up, I hit a limb, I pull my shot, I peek, I do something wrong. in my opinion, an expandable, I have a better chance to recover that deer with, and that's just my opinion, but I feel like they provide me a better opportunity in that middle of the middle, or say you're back, whatever. If I hit shoulder, honestly, in my head, I'm like, fuck, Clint, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Now,
hey,
I'm
Clint.
I'm still going to look. I'm still going to put in my time, but I know in my head what that means. Chances yep. are I'm in trouble, but right. I'll hit one back. I hit one in the hip. I hit one. I like the giant holes that an expandable provides.
Yeah, the entrance hole, the blood trailing on an entrance hole with an expandable is just hands down better than any
right.
fixed yep. blade that I've ever shot. You're getting a massive hole.
How can you argue that? You know?
For sure. Yep. Ross, you got something itching.
Yeah, I'm itching. I'm
itching.
No, I'm not itching. I'm just – so, I mean, are you – I guess – now I'm all screwed up and I can't remember.
you want me to move on?
No. So backing up just a little bit on the fixed broadheads versus expandables. So you go. Are you shooting? What the hell am I trying to say? I guess I'm trying to. So are you shooting elk? Are you shooting all these animals that you're going after? Are you shooting those with expandables? You've said.
Have not changed my broadhead since I started shooting those 1.5s 3 years ago. So everything from literally everything. Well, no, actually, this is my fourth year. I'm in my third and a half season with those broadheads with the severs. And before that, I was honestly a Rage hypodermic guy forever.
Yep. Those are really good broadheads.
That's my jam. I've been shooting Rage since 2009 and I've shot them yep. all and haven't found one that I dislike.
Yep. And I mean, mountain lion, elk, bears, whitetails, hogs. I mean, I've had utmost confidence in them, and I fall back on the bad shots I've made. I've found the animal just because the entrance hole was huge. Yeah. I let him go. I didn't rush nothing. I played my cards right, and I've never had to like go back in and reshoot an animal, or I'm like, oh shit. You know, the only animal I lost was a big buck back in, it would have been like 2017, and I fucking shoulder shot him at 40. Yep. I mean, I dead center punched, literally, I just pulled my shot and literally smacked him dead square in the shoulder. I got 2 inches of penetration. I knew what I did immediately. I spent 2 days looking, even though I knew what happened. I mean, I knew I was fucked, but yep. still, it's just the thing to do.
That's your obligation.
But,
yep.
Right, absolutely, but I knew in my head, if I'm 4 more inches back, that deer's hanging on my wall right now.
Yep.
Right. I mean, and it's just that simple. And it all come down to I just didn't execute and I didn't do my job. I mean, I was a little bit nervous. It was kind of a rush deal. And realistically, it just fucked up. You know, that is what happens. It is what it is. But
yep. it is.
And I can say for sure I've been in those shoes. I've lost probably 4, I think, since I started bow hunting. I've lost 4 on shoulder shots. I mean, it's
no good.
Yeah, that you hug that shoulder and you're hoping for heart shot, but realistically, those lungs are way back. So.
I kind of blame hunting culture for the whole heart shot thing.
I kind of blame like all the deer targets.
It's not a bad thing to go for a heart shot, but if you're doing it, okay, take the quartering away shot when you're cleaning out liver, lungs, and getting hard on the way out. Like, don't try to broadside shoot a deer in the heart. It's just
right.
It sounds ethical, but you're more ethical to stay back a little bit and get
the
a
room
double
for error is just not
yep.
there.
Yep.
There's less room for error.
That heart is tucked in between those shoulders so tight.
You have a deer with his leg forward, head up, like calm, looking away. Yeah, maybe that's your move, you know, but we can go back and forth on this all day long.
Yeah.
All I want to know now, before we move on to our next topic, I got Ross marked down, you're fixed. I'm taking notes on this because I want this to haunt you to your grave. Clint's an expandable guy. I'm being sarcastic. Everybody like just looked at me stone cold when I said that. Eric, what are you, man? If you're picking a broadhead, where are you at?
Mechanical.
You're an expandable guy, all right? Expandable. Noted, expandable. All right, good to know. Austin?
I'm Rage, baby. It's like throwing an axe through an animal.
Dude, every time I watch those old Chuck Adams pops up with his hat, it's like throwing an axe through an animal. I just see that crazy vegan lady on TikTok having an aneurysm.
I say that now. It makes me cry, but shooting the trad bow, I'm going back to big 175 fixed blades for the trad bow. But
fair.
If I got the wheeled bow, I'm Rage, baby.
I love, dude, that...
You're wheeling that fucker out of the garage or what?
Anytime someone says, like, you, if I'm ever at a bar and someone goes, it's like throwing an axe through an animal, you get a free beer. Like, right. I'm buying you a fucking beer.
Yeah. Oh, I'm saying that every time we're at a bar then.
It's just because I know you're from my era of bow hunting.
Yeah.
Like the old, remember, like, the old Rage commercials, and then they had, like, the old
block commercials. They were so good, dude. They were graphic. They showed that punching the deer and the blood exploding when it hit, like, on the entrance. It's just, yeah, like, that's selling the product.
Yeah. It's like, there it is. Yeah. Okay. We got Doug. What are you going to do?
I'm expandable all day.
Expandable guy, huh?
Right. I used to use Rages all the time, but
I'm the Lone Ranger. Like
trick or after trick.
Noted. All right.
The big one I shot was at the Rage. It didn't go very far, did it?
Did you write yourself down?
Yeah, I did. I put a C because I didn't feel like spelling my whole name. Here's the thing. Hard to argue with a fixed blade. And I got to say, the Slick Trick Viper Tricks are the best, most accurate flying with, what I'm saying, working class guy. Like, all your fixed blades, if you do everything, your homework right, they should fly amazing. Went elk hunting. I shot 125 grain Slick Trick Viper Tricks for elk, being prepared, and I brought those right into whitetail season. And you want to talk about a hard-hitting motherfucker.
Yep.
That head is amazing. It flies great. I shot that head fixed blade all the way out to 80 yards just off like a paper tune. And
that's impressive.
Was just – dude, it was –
and they fly like lasers. That's the thing. I just – I can't get over any other fixed rod. Yeah. Not to interrupt you, but I've shot a ton of rod heads.
Yep.
And fixed and expandable. And the expandable practice tips are – or practice points are awesome.
Yeah.
But I feel so confident being able to just use – 3 or 4 fixed Viper Tricks against any other fixed broadhead and shoot them at 100 and watch them. I mean, not even like just send it off, and you're not supposed to just watch your arrow, but I do that just to watch and see the flight and, light and knock and everything, just like a laser beam.
With me, I agree 100% with everything you just said. Shooting those broadheads at 60, 70, 80 yards and watch them hit the center of that broad force target, like hit right where you want.
Every time.
Send them in there, you're like, everything is fucked at this point. You know, like, the confidence level I had with those Viper Tricks was beyond any other thing that I could have shot at the time. Now, that being said, that's the only time I shot those heads was that season, 125 grain for elk, and I've been shooting the Raptor Trick 2-inch, they're 2-inch expandables, right? 2-inch?
Yep.
Dude, I know if I'm aiming double long, it's devastation. Oh, man.
Yeah, like, absolutely. I agree.
And creepy, I thought I hit him a little high. He was real close. I thought I hit him high shoulder maybe, and I was panicking a little bit. Rolled him in 60 yards. Like,
yeah.
So
we could see the stand from where he was laying.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a durable head. Like, I know that head is capable. I feel for whitetails, the way I aim and everything at whitetails is for double long, entry and exit hole, like we talked, that head is going to destroy some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'll go back to interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
But I'll go back to what Clint said, and shot placement is key. We've all said that, I guess.
Yeah.
But honestly, yeah, going into it, if you want devastation, an axe through the animal, whatever, it's you have a two blade of anything, and you know where your shot placement is going to be. I mean, it's nasty.
Here's my final answer. You pin me down and say, are you a fixed-bellied fucking guy? Or are you
I was getting ready to.
Make up your goddamn mind. I'd be like, all right, I'm a fixed-blade guy. Give me that Viper Trick. I'm game. I'm game with the Viper Trick because if I do hit some shoulder or I tuck tight on that heart, I know I'm going to kill it, but I'm shooting Viper Tricks. Or I'm shooting Slick Tricks this year. They're expandable.
Yep.
Raptor Tricks. Fuck. So I don't know. I think deep down, I'm a fixed-blade guy. But I'm shooting expandables right now.
I'm more one more thing I'm going to add.
We've spent an entire podcast on broadheads.
I know. I'm sorry.
Move on.
Slick Tricks.
I'm sorry.
They don't pay.
I'm throwing bombs, like long bombs, it's going to be the fixed, the Viper Trick.
Okay.
I killed a turkey at two of them. 46.
Next subject.
I'm going fixed, even though I'm shooting expandables. All right. Next one. Scents.
Nope.
I think this would be a fast one.
Okay, we can go fast. Doug, we're going to start with you because you didn't get to touch on much on the last one.
Sorry, bro.
Scents. And we're talking urine. We're talking fox in on your boots because that's they don't know a difference when you're walking in. And we're talking
dirt wafers.
We're talking dirt wafers. We're talking Tink 69
Earth spray. Yeah, Tink 69
Earth spray.
We're talking buck bomb, baby. Spray the thing out and let it burst off. We're talking.
I want firecrackers blown up at the base of my stand.
Rose candles.
You want to light some incense? All right, I'm going to light this incense down and burn the farmer's field down.
Yeah, but it's vapor.
Let's just fucking bathe in dough piss. Just bathe in it. Drink it.
Drink it, so I fart it, and then it's just like dough fumes coming out of my
ass. We're talking artificial balls in a jar, and you're going to put them in a scrape. We're talking, I don't know, you're going to piss in, you're going to drink this product and then piss in a jar and stir up some powder in it. We're talking all. Where are you at, Doug? You in or you're out? What's your preference?
I'm out. I'm not using any of it.
None?
None.
You're just clean none.
I'm none.
All right,
Doug. Attaboy, Doug. Attaboy.
Doug. It never works. I've never seen it work, personally.
Okay, Doug, none. Got you down. Is that it?
That's all I got. I've never seen it work.
Mm. Eric? Mm.
I will say, as a newer bow hunter, being older, I tried all that bullshit. I'm out.
You didn't put any rub line slime on some trees and
I never
shit?
Use a rub line slime, but.
You never call it Matt Busbis and show your tits for some free product?
Twice.
Hey, no response.
It was two times. It happened two times. Leave me alone, okay?
Two times.
No response. No, but I tried all that dumb shit. I've never seen it work.
I do love the smell of the old dirt wafers and the rut wafers, though. Those things were the bomb.
The wafers right. were kind of cool.
Chandler?
Because everyone had them.
Are you in or are you out?
Man, I keep a rut wafer just so I can smell it, just for the nostalgic aspect.
While you're hunting?
No. Just to smell it before I go
by
out.
By his bed.
Just be like, man, that's 1996 right there.
And then I put it back. Prime time box number seven.
You take fucking a shot? Clint, you take a shot of it?
Yeah,
no, fucking Chandler's got it in his car as a fucking air freshener.
You got it in the carnage cart off the rear view.
Off the rear view mirror hanging in his truck.
So anything else,
I don't care what anybody says. That brings me back to the old days.
No, it for sure does.
I'd cut off cedar limbs. And throw those dirt wafers and the rut wafers in my little container and put the lid on it, man.
Oh, you
open
do?
That up, it's like, bam, hit you in the face. Bam,
so you perfect. Are using it on your...
No, I don't do it anymore, but in 1996, when I was getting started with all this shit, yeah, I had everybody did it.
No kidding. Okay, so what about nowadays? Like
no, nothing.
The Lord, no, nothing.
I use scentless laundry detergent, scentless deodorant, and scentless body wash. That's what I use for scent stuff.
Ozone?
I honestly don't have any ozone stuff, but I think we're going to change that.
You do now. You got some scent crusher products. You got the Rapid Mobile Shower.
I've always wanted one, but I've never done it, so I'm going to try that this year.
Okay. Ross?
Well, we kind of touched on this on the road trip podcast, but I was the first one to say, yeah, I've killed bucks off of scent. I've watched it work, and it when it works, it works.
Okay.
I've killed two big ones off of scent, and they were like hook, line, and sinker.
Okay, do you think that's because you willy-nilly put it out, or did you put it out with strategy?
I put it out with strategy.
Of course
I wasn't just spritzing the fucking timber. I played the wind. I walked through the creek. I got up. I, you know, put my little boot pads on.
You sprayed it in the creek?
No,
good strategy. It goes down.
Oh,
down
attracts them for miles.
Yeah, down the creek.
When they drink it 3 miles down, they taste the estrus.
Or no, he sprayed on a leaf and then threw it in the creek.
Yep.
Well, they know where you're at when you're calling, so obviously they'll know where you're at. When you drop it in the creek, they'll walk right to that.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Yeah. I heard about that once.
I'm just saying it's worked. I've watched it work, and I'm fortunate to kill a couple really good ones straight off of that stuff. And honestly, I think I said it on that road trip podcast. I haven't used it much since, and because I was spending stupid money.
What do I write down here? Kind of.
Am I a yay or nay? Dude, I've been a so-so both sides guy all night.
I know, like, but I have to write
something down.
Yeah, I have to put
if I
down.
Choose one or the other, I'm gonna say no.
No.
Okay. I'm just saying it has worked for me. So the guys that haven't, it's been a naysay all the way through. I'm saying I've watched it work, and it will work in the right situation. But
you're a no.
Yes. I'm a no.
So you're a yes or you're a no.
Okay.
Guess hold on. Anyways.
Clint. Hey, Clint. You still, Clint, yeah, you with us?
Hey, Clint, are you there?
Are you sleeping?
No, I've just, I, it, you I zoned get a out. Headache. I get a headache even just thinking about the amount of times I get asked this throughout the months of October and November. What sex scents do you use? What are you using for cover scents? Like,
Clint, have you been skunked? Like, have you, or not skunked, but have you been caught and blown big boys out because you were using scent?
For me, it all goes back to that confidence thing. And I'm like everybody else. I've tried it all. I've put a ton of effort into trying to set like the stage and trying to like think, okay, Buck's going to come downwind from this bedding area. He's going to be cruising this edge. He's going to smell this freaking hot ass that I got setting all over the place. He's going to be like, oh fuck, I'm coming over here to pound her. Dun, dun, dun. I'm shooting at 20 yards. Oh, dude, fuck. I've had Bucks do that, hit that scent stream, and literally turn around and fucking run away. I mean, like, immediate, they hit it and ran the other direction. I just, for me, my whole philosophy the last 10 years on so killing mature bucks.
Noted.
he's a maybe.
Has literally been, do not be heard, do not be seen, and do not be known that you are present. So that's just my jam. Now, I got buddies, they love it. Dude, they do the bombs. They do, and they kill, fuck, they kill good bucks, and they swear that shit works for them. And, but there again, they're confident in that system. I am not, but I don't blind call. I don't grunt. I, like, that shit is so last ditch effort. A buck is walking away at 150 yards. I know he's not coming back. I will maybe throw a grunt or a bleat. Most of the times I'm going to use my mouth to do it. I don't even carry calls with me typically. But that is like last ditch. I have nothing else to possibly lose at this point. Yeah. I'm going to go with that. But
I agree. That's fair.
Like I said, though, that's just my style. My style is do not be smelled, do not be seen, do not be heard, and it's just all surprise ninja attack. I'm going to shoot you in your lungs as you walk by. That's it. But that's just me. That's so for my style, absolutely not. There's no, you couldn't fucking pay me right now if you said, okay, Clint's got this big buck figured out. We're going to make him take scent in. No, no, you're fucking not. No, I am not. I am not doing that. That's not my game. Just, I got nothing against the guys that do it. Like, I hear Ross talk about it and I'm like, fuck, that's cool. Like, that's awesome that he had confidence and it worked for him. Yeah, but I mean, at least thanks you can lot, say. Well, I'm just saying, like, at least you have two encounters that it did work. Like, you can set your hat on two times that worked. Like, whereas me, I'm like, no, I've never had it.
But the cons way outweigh the pros.
Yes. Well, right, and so, like, sure. That's where I'm at. Like, I do in the whitetail woods is all based off of predictability on where are my odds the highest. And I feel like my odds are highest by shutting up, don't be smelled, don't be heard, don't be seen. Yep. That's just my, like decoys, the same thing.
I don't ever use decoys.
I just want to make one point while we're still on this. I think a lot of the times when you're using scent, so as we do this and we progress in our hunting career, we learn about entrance and exit of the stand and where our scent trail is laid down when we walk to the stand, and we try to eliminate deer running into that path as much as we can. And a lot of times when you're putting scent out, you're trying to position them for that shot, you're putting human scent where you don't necessarily want it.
Yep.
And they're picking that up as they're picking up the scent that you're putting down. So
yeah,
I think that's a big part of it for me when I'm trying to enter or exit a stand. I'm trying not to cross paths where I think deer are going to be running through. So for me, that's one big reason why I don't want to use it. I don't want to get out in front where that shot's going to be.
You got to have enough 69 on your boots.
Yeah, you just douse it.
You just soak them.
Here's my thing too. So with me, I'm a no artificial scent whatsoever at all when it comes to hunting. I'm a scent elimination only guy. That's my experience. I've never killed a deer off any sort of artificial. Fucking, like, no Tink 69 bombs, the orange little canisters that you hook on the trees. I did hunt over that shit when I was young and all that. And here's what it did. And this probably has nothing to do with the scent, but here's the experience that sealed the deal for me. Growing up, I hunted Fulton County. My dad went to Farm King in Canton, Illinois.
and they used to have that cooler full of whatever, and I'm sorry, somebody knows the brand, and there's nothing against this brand. It's just the way we hunted. You know, the stuff in the cooler is extra fresh, so it worked extra good.
Nice and fresh.
And it was like three times the money, local, whatever. My dad opens the cooler, buys the shit, we set the stuff out. He has a deer bust him off of that stuff, he swears. This is years ago, right? I was young, real young. Couldn't even drive. Like, probably before I even killed my first buck with a bow. And I just remember my dad going, and this is just the way it is. I'm sorry for the language, but this is hunting camp. Man, fuck this shit. I spent all this money. This is fucking bullshit, you know? But I remember being like, yeah, fuck that shit. And it doesn't work. That's what, you know, I had in my head. And I thought you're just better off eliminating scent. And like what Clint said, you're better off assassin style, ninja style, intercepting a buck on his own movement versus how he hunts some wind on how you're going to figure out when for your property. I feel like you're better off doing that.
I think.
And go ahead.
Sorry. I think that the biggest problem with putting scent out is when you hang a wick, everybody who's anybody that has used it dips it like right in the shit, right?
Yeah.
And then hangs it right on a branch, yeah. Right? So this deer is walking along there, and normally bucks would like pick up little traces, like the doe's dribbling or she makes a little piss pile somewhere,
yeah.
And then he's getting on her scent. He yeah. walks up and grabs a big old whiff of this just stank ass shit right yeah. there.
Imagine like, getting imagine getting a whop right in your face, like yeah. all of a sudden out of nowhere, and you're just like, "That's not right."
This
that's
scared some, the fuck. Out
I was
of
just
me.
Thinking that
some bad business going smell, on here.
I was just smelling an acorn. All of a sudden,
whop.
Yeah, you're just like, "Listen here, I was just trying to see what was at the bar. I'm not trying to get a face full right out the gate.
I was just checking scrapes. I didn't.
You know, honestly, I haven't even had a beer yet. Honestly, it's probably the best comparison. Like, that's probably the best analogy that you can make for deer hunting. It's like, imagine walking into a bar and hitting you in the face. You'd be like, I don't want to be in this bar.
That's scary.
Like, yeah. I'm trying to look for a classy lady. Yeah,
they call that a taco slap. Just whack right in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine like, walking into a bar and the sluttiest, drunkest girl right away comes up and just
crotches you in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah, like, you know, this Jesus. Is
crosses you in the
Jesus.
Face.
This came on too fast, and this is what I'm yeah. looking for. I'm going to go somewhere else where I got to, like, follow a trail.
Yeah. Yeah. I just got off work.
I like to work for it. I don't want to just yeah. have it handed
like,
to my face.
Go, goddamn.
I'm trying to drink, like, three beers and then have the confidence to talk to you, you know? So
unless you're that's the only way I can think
unless
of
unless you're a 6-point and then you're just diving all over.
Hey, right. Five bucks. It's kids, you know? But going back to that, like I liked also, I think you made the point where, you know, wherever you want the scent to be, or I can't remember now, we're drinking. You want the scent to be, you have to walk there to put it there where you normally wouldn't walk versus where you're going right. to shoot. And so we have a scent episode that's going to be coming up here in the future. A local guy, want to help him out. He's a great dude. Want to help his business. But I think the scent conversation is good, and it does work for some people. Like what you guys have talked about, we mentioned it.
Just dumping a squirt gun.
It's worth the conversation, whether I believe in it or not. I still want to do that interview because some of our listeners might get a lot out of it, and it might help his business and whatever.
Right.
So, I guarantee you have half your listeners that use and believe in scent products. And like
and Clint no disrespect, said, like, that's
no,
what
like
works.
Clint said, if you're confident with your system, why change? I mean, if you're seeing success with that, why change it?
So here's what I said. We had a conversation over way too many Busch Lights. About it, and there literally across the road from us was a V-shaped hay field. So imagine you got your V-shaped hay field, the bottom of the V, the point where your two lines hit the bottom. I just use it. This is a simplistic analogy here, or simplistic. Well, let me paint this picture.
Paint the picture.
In a simple way. I'm drunk. So your stand is at the V, the point of the V, the bottom of the V. You're expecting that deer to come down the edge of one of those lines of the V down to the point. That's your pinch point, right? You're expecting that buck to come there, and your wind's perfect. Everything's good. My analogy was, if you already did your homework, you know the deer's going to move through there, and you know your wind's good, why would you step out into the V? And it's what you guys were saying earlier. Set your scent. So if you know the deer's already going to do that, if you've already done your proper homework, why would you intercept him with something that might stop him in his tracks?
Don't take a chance on screwing that deer up.
Right, before he gets there. So if you've already done your homework on how a deer moves on certain winds, you know he's in a certain area and you're in there, you shouldn't even have to consider a scent attracted into your game at all.
And leave your deer kazoos at home.
Leave your deer kazoo at home. Yes.
Just let him roll through because you've done your
homework. So for me, I'm a big fat no on scent.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
You guys want the next? You guys want the next one?
Yeah, let's go next one.
Calling.
I just said it. I shouldn't say that.
Clint's already said he's a no. And we've talked about this before, a no on calling.
Okay, rattling, groaning, bleeding, all of it. All calling.
Any call, snort, wheezing,
I guarantee buck rollers. I don't go to the timber without it.
Don't go to the timber without it. Clint, do you go to the timber without yours? I know you said sometimes you do, but...
I mean, I typically... I try to have a grunt call in my pack because, like I said, realistically, in the rut, you got a buck you've never seen before. He comes in. For whatever reason, he heads out the other side of the ravine you're in. He hasn't come by you. You've never seen this buck. It's a giant. You may never see him again. What do you have to lose? At that point, okay, if you want to throw the kitchen sink at him, I totally get it. But like I said, that is a last, like, you know, I can short wheeze with my mouth. I can bleat with my mouth. I can grunt with my mouth. I try to have a grunt call if it's windy and I need to carry sound. But realistically, like the blind calling or like foot or like I remember growing up, Stan Potts and Greg Miller and all them guys, they would set up tree stands for a calling scenario. Never in my life have I done it. And honestly, never in my life will I ever do it because for me, it's just not my jam. I don't want to put my eggs in a basket that is mainly the calling basket. That's just not my style.
Well, so, when you get into calling, everything comes down to the wind direction's got to be just right. The deer's absolutely. Attitude's got to be just right. I mean, there's a lot of...
Well, it's an art form. There are a lot of variables to it.
And there's guys that just love to call, like Cole Young loves to call. He's good at it.
Yeah.
And it's just... You gotta pick your... it's got to be a perfect scenario, I guess. If you're going to start throwing everything at them, you got to know what you're doing before you go throwing it all at them. And just because you watched a DVD and they killed a big buck doesn't mean you ought to blow on everything that you got in your bag.
For sure.
I mean, go out tooting your horn.
Let me get mine out of the way real quick.
Yeah.
I like having a grunt call on me. Rattling, just probably 2 weeks of the year, I'll carry them. And they're for last-ditch efforts, typically.
Is that like when you spot a buck, or are you just blind rattling?
Sometimes I will blind rattle because I've had deer run the fuck in fast on blind rattling, but no, and not common. That would be a deer out of the way. I know he's not even coming near me. I know the wind's decent and all. That would be one of those type of efforts.
Your first pick would be rattle at him.
You're throwing a Hail Mary at him.
It's a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And I don't love to rattle because I think you spook more deer than you call in deer, personally. Grunting, I think the way I grunt is I will blind grunt, but I'm not going brruh, 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 brruh. I'm not doing a scene. I'm throwing like two soft out grunts. And then that's it.
Yep.
For like a while.
So like subtle, just, hey, I'm a buck. I'm hanging out here.
If you ever hear a buck grunt in person, it's rare you have one that scares you because it's so loud or whatever. I've had that happen, but once in the whole time I've been hunting.
Not very often.
Yep. So when you hear a deer grunt, even a mature buck, it's not like what you think always. You know, if a buck, especially by himself, like last year I had a buck move by me that I thought was a 3 or 4.5 year old, probably a 140 buck that I'm hoping I run into this year. He was just...
He's not belly growling.
It wasn't no grunt, you know, like you would think you should call.
No.
It was very just oinky.
Yeah,
oink, like something like that, just as he's walking from excitement or whatever, he's ready.
Well, I know for sure Austin's just chewing on his lip wanting to talk because this guy's been successful on calling.
See, I like calling. I'm more of a yes than I am a no on calling, but... That's how you apply it, right? Like, you can't just go uneducated and be an asshole.
Right.
I'm kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum, I guess. Mm-hmm. It seems like I talk about this call every time I get on the podcast, but I've got an old Drury Mad Buck Growl, and I've killed 5 or 6 bucks with this thing. And when I use it, I'm super aggressive, super loud with it. It's just a real deep guttural growl, and when I do it, they're not just kind of meandering in. Like, their hair stands up on their back, and they lay their ears back, and they're fucking pissed when they come in.
Yeah.
So they kind of forget about circling downwind. They're just coming right to you.
You get their excitement level up over there.
They just forget about everything. They're like, fuck, he's challenging me. Like, I'm coming into that, and I
don't disagree with you. I think there's a certain – but you're not doing that second week of October.
No. The earliest I've killed one with that would have been November 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're already in that mindset where they're fired up, but...
they still make that call? We talked about this on the podcast before.
There's one at Farm King in Monmouth. I just saw it the other day.
I'm going to go buy one, dude.
Dude, it's a fucking badass call, and it's literally put a half a dozen deer on the wall for me.
See, that's hard to argue with. Right. A half a dozen deer is hard to argue with.
I killed one December 17th, feeding in a cut cornfield 150 yards away from me. It's last light. I'm like, fuck it. I got on that thing. Just as loud as I could get, and he come 30 yards right to me and then went to cut into the timber.
Yeah.
December 17th or whatever it was.
Dude, ask Papa Dave about that call. You want to see? My dad won't get excited about any calls. We got to get him in here to tell his buck story, but you come in, one of you guys will come in on that show, be like, hey, Papa Dave, he'll listen to this show probably, but we'll have to just, he'll forget about it. We'll blindside and be like, hey, what do you know about the mad growl? Oh, fuck. Like, you'll see my dad's eyes light up. My dad's had a lot of opportunity on bucks off that call.
Yep. See, I'm going to say no, but I've never had anything happen like that where they just come. Like, sorry. I've grunted at a few, and they circle around, checking you out and do all that, but I've never had one.
That call is
hair
before your
hair up and come right in. Dart right yeah, to you. I've never had that happen.
It pisses them off so much maybe that they just forget about everything. They just drop their guard, and they're just like, fuck you, I'm coming in.
Well, that call... Eric, this might be just before your hunting started. But
fuck, fellas. I got to cut you off. My work's called in twice. I must have a tree down or something. All right, buddy. I'm about to cut out of here, fellas.
See you, dude.
Later, man.
All right, later, Clint.
The working class bow hunter right there.
I got to build up a little comp time. You know what I mean?
I thought you hung up on him.
Bye.
They're beeping in.
All right, brother. Good work, man. Get after it. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Catch you guys later, man.
Later, see you, loser.
Appreciate it.
That ain't working class. I don't know what the hell it is.
It was the year they came out with that growl, the buck growl. I bought one about probably the same time you did, Austin, and I'd never heard such a thing. But watching the DVDs.
Oh, dude, the little DVD that came with it?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is
sinker. Jared Lurk drilled a huge 8-pointer at like 10 yards
under the tree. In some CRP stuff?
Yeah. I remember that. Oh, my God. I got to use this thing. And yeah. I took it out that first year, and I mean – I have called in multiple.
He's low-key someone I want really bad on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. That was just a memorable hunt. But, as far as grunting, that's my call. That's my jam. I'm not afraid to use it. But like Clint said, I'm not just going to start ripping on it. It's a last-ditch effort. If I know that deer is not going to come past me and he's out there 70, 80 yards, then that's when I use it. That's when I'm going to try to get him to come into me.
When that call came out, did you remember the footage they had? Like, it was that guy who had the experience. Like, he had shot a buck. And then another deer came in, was making that, and then he had like 13 deer or something crazy.
What's it called? I got to look it up.
It's the buck growl.
He shot a hot doe.
Yeah, that's for some reason. And they were horning her, just trying to get her picked up.
Like you said, like 13 bucks just come in.
And I'd never heard one. Yeah, I'd never heard that. Growling
like crazy.
I never heard that vocalization in the timber. I'm like, this is just some made up bullshit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like 2 or 3 weeks later. I was on the timber, and it's almost like a frog croaking. It's like a deep bullfrog. And I was like, holy shit, that's it. That's the call.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you heard it? Another buck do it?
Oh, I hear it every year now.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Yeah. I heard same story. That year they came out with that. I got to hear it, but it was in the dark. I'd just gotten the stand.
Yeah.
Deer walking through, you hear crunch, 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 and then brrr, just scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And he was by himself.
I've had it happen one time where it scared me, and I thought it was like somebody messing with me. Like it was,
right.
You know, but.
It's a weird sound.
It is weird. My dad loved that call, man. If they still make it, I'll probably buy another one, man.
Who makes it?
Mad. Jury.
Oh, juries. And honestly, I bought the growl snort or the grunt snort wheeze, the bleat, and the growl. And
I've killed deer off a snort wheeze.
I ended up changing so you can change the cones on them, so you can change all the parts out.
Yeah.
So I took the growl snort wheeze. I built the growl snort wheeze out of it.
Yeah,
that's the badass right there.
Dude, the snort wheeze, if you get a buck feeling right, that's like
That's how I killed my big one last year.
Oh, it is?
He mouth snorted at you.
I snort wheeze with my mouth, too. Yep. I've killed one good buck off a mouth snort wheeze.
That's a very effective call. It's the same concept. It infuriates the deer. It's a super aggressive call, but if you've got a lone deer by himself cruising and he's not coming towards you, I mean... Get his attention with that snort wheeze. It's loud. You know, you can reach out there a couple hundred yards.
It's the one call that makes a big buck. Like you said, he ain't going to give a shit if he's with a doe. It's the one call that gets a buck to snap his neck going, what, bitch?
Yep.
It's like that call. It's the what, bitch.
You said what?
Yeah. What was just, that? And I do the waddle, like watched him do it. I just make that like okay signal and just do the.
Is that it?
Yep. Bingo. And
that's every place I look at it says discontinued. So if you find them, you might want to
pick them
bitches
up. There's one at Farm King in Monmouth.
People are driving it right now.
I just saw it like a week ago.
Yeah. Okay, calling. That's fun. That's fun.
That's great.
It's fun, man. To me, it gives me a little bit of confidence. Probably where like the scents don't, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As far as rattling goes, I've done it for years. I haven't had a lot of luck with it. I killed one big one October 19th, rattled him in. He was hotter than a firecracker, but more times than not, a lot of those big mature deer try to circle downwind to where they hear that noise coming from.
You fuck yourself quicker than you help yourself. Yep. Yeah.
But it's one of those things. It's the same concept as snort, wheezing, or grunting. You got a buck that's out 80, 90, 100 yards where you're in some thick shit and he can't see you and he's going away. Tickle those tines a little bit real fast, set him down. I mean, it could work for you.
Yeah.
But
it always gives you that extra confidence, dude. Like if you go in with nothing, sometimes you have a rough year and you don't have a lot of intel.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The calling and maybe sense are your thing. Like that might help you just feel a little more confident in what you're doing. Yep. And that's all that matters.
Like Austin said, it might be that last ditch effort that just might work.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So here's the next one. This one's very generic. So we can take this as deep as we want, or we can kind of just touch on it and go whatever. This one, I would rather... I don't even know what I wrote down after this. I can't even read my own handwriting because I'm like talking and writing, you know? This, if we're going to... I'd like to dive a little deep on this, but we... Oh, all right, let me throw it at you. Wind. And that just general term, wind. I know guys... And here's the thing, like... We all agree you can't hunt without acknowledging the wind, right?
Right.
We're all on board on that. I don't think there's any arguing. I think that has been, if you've listened to 400 episodes of this show, you already know that shit. Or we have killed your brain cells so much that you decided to ignore wind.
Yeah.
Whatever spectrum you lie on, or however much alcohol you drink on a weekly basis, it's hard to argue that the wind is not something to pay attention to. I do know people that didn't realize they needed to pay attention to it, but now they're like, oh, fuck. Like, that all adds up.
Yep.
Like, for me, wind is number one.
It should be everybody's number one.
Yes.
I think so, too. It dictates which spot you go to. Mm-hmm. Like, when I have a northwest wind, I've got six stands that I know of that are a possibility. Which one's my best stand for that morning? Like, I automatically know with a southeast wind, I'm going to a Roger stand.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know that historically, when I sit in there, that the wind behaves this way, and in the mornings the thermals will carry it up, in the evenings it'll carry it down. I mean, you just after setting certain stands year after year, you kind of get familiar, and some stands will behave the opposite. You might set in a stand where the weatherman saying there's an east wind, but it's actually behaving like a west wind.
Yeah, that's the just knowing your spot.
Yeah, hanging and banging, it's kind of different because you're up in so many different trees, you don't have that experience. But right, when you've got those 10 trusty old spots that you go to, you kind of know how the wind behaves there.
Right. And so that is the basic overview of wind. You know, there's entry, there's exit, there's knowing how. So here's one thing I like with the wind, and something I think is important in knowing the wind, is understanding how a buck will use wind for his advantage. So
exactly.
You can't go in with a wind that's just perfect for you because you're not going to see a big buck.
Got to work for both of you.
It's got to work for both of you, and that's where it gets complicated because it has to work for you on your entry and your exit, and it's got to work for you for the entire sit, and it's got to work for the deer when he's moving past you. So my question is, and this is to everybody here, I'm mostly looking at at Ross and Austin and hoping you guys will trickle in. And I'm asking this, one, because I sort of know it. I always like to hear it because it refreshes me. And I always like to actively think about it and learn more. And you guys might say something that I've never thought about. How do you make a wind work for you, a wind work for the deer, and a wind work for your entry and exit all at the same time and still be able to hunt as much as possible? A loaded question.
It's a big one. But it's a
big question.
The thing about it is, if you put all that into thought going into it, you focus on, if you've done your research and you're scouting and everything else, you know that buck is coming out of that area
on a certain wind.
Yep, and it maybe it's like Austin said, the good stands that you know year after year,
you can go to. Even if you're exploring a different spot that you know that those deer come out of, the wind's starting to switch a little bit, you want to hang and bang. That's where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. If you want to hang and bang in a different spot that you might be 40 yards away from a tree that you really like to hunt, but you need to be in this different spot, mm-hmm. you start taking all this into account. So this buck comes out of this corner all the time. You, when they're in rut or really close to rut, or they're whether it's pre-rut, full rut, whatever it is, mm-hmm. bucks notoriously check trails downwind of doe trails. Mm-hmm. So if you know where that main trail's at, then put yourself, think 20 yards, that buck's going to be there. So then put yourself 20 yards or 30 yards, even farther away from that, where it's in your favor, it's in his favor, and it's in... It's, I mean, the does are still good. You're not blowing anybody up.
Right, right.
As long as you can get in and out. But the terrain plays, the topography.
Too much of a damn factor.
There's a lot that goes into something like that, where you lay out the perfect situation to go in and kill.
Right.
It's just scouting.
And here's wind. Why I asked the question how I asked it. And because I know, I understand all that. But I've been watching a lot of Don Higgins videos at work, and our buddy Tyler's sitting in the studio. Like, he's a newer hunter, but learning like with me too at the same time. And Tyler's been like, "Oh, dude, I like this guy. Like, this guy breaks it down cool." And he had a really good video about wind today that we watched. And I always rewatch like everything he says. I know that, I understand it, but every spot you hunt, you have to look at it differently because. All right, let's go back 2 years ago, 2018 season. I killed the nice 10-pointer. Austin, you helped me pull him out. The one I thought was going to do 60, he's about 150, but mm-hmm. just a heavy-bodied sucker, died in the slow spot. So I learned quick where I set that stand. It was a ridge with a bluff on a creek. And it was the creek was on the north end of this bluff. So on a south wind, there was a major trail there. All the deer would only run that on a south wind because they knew they're safe from the north. The wind's blowing to them. They smell everything they need to until they hit the field to feed. So they know what's ahead of them before they even get there. I learned that from trial and error and fucking up early season. I'm like, oh, dude, they're only moving in here on south winds. I go in there. That buck was actually north of me, but I had a good thermal moving up on me, and he was way low below me. And I actually killed him technically downwind. However you want to look at that with thermals and all this stuff, maybe not. Maybe it was perfect, the perfect wind. But in that deer's mind, he should have smelled me. That was his whole process going in. That's what kept him alive. That's how I killed that deer. But that took me a little bit to learn that. And that was one of the major factors. I'm like, this is how this works. Like, it was one of those oh shit type realizing moments. But it's hard to always have it to be that obvious. Once you figure it out, I can see it. There it is.
Yep.
Deer move here on south winds because that everything from danger blows to them on that trail.
Right.
But I hit different spots, and then it gets kind of muddy. It's not always the writing on the wall there. What if you have a northwest wind, and they're cutting this ravine that runs north-south? How are the deer cutting on that? On an east wind, on a west wind, south wind, all that stuff. So,
well, it's funny because we all like to sit here and strategize on this nice football play for wind direction and, like, what's the golden ticket? How do we do this?
Yeah.
Whereas 90% of the time, you really have to put boots on the ground, get in the spot like you did, and figure things out by looking at it, actually being there and watching the wind behave.
Yeah.
I guess my biggest thing that I'll do when you talk about using a wind that is good for you and the deer, and especially if you own the farm and you can do this, you can go in and bend the habitat the way you want it. So you can create brush piles or hinge cut or whatever you want to bend the deer out, get them to come out the way you want them to. If you don't have that, you can look for natural features that are going to do that. Big ledges, you know, if you have a big ledge behind you where deer can't go, but a west wind is still going to favor them to come out into that spot. I mean, you just have to pay attention to little things like that. Places where the deer can't get behind you, or at least can't be within 60, 70 yards of downwind of you. Sometimes that's all it takes. You know, they'll circle 100 yards out. And if the thermals are lifting in the mornings, you know, you're golden. They're going to come out.
Yeah.
And the wind's going to be perfect for them. But it's like I said, a lot of it is just putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Once you get in the timber and sit in that spot a couple times, you kind of figure it out.
Right. For sure. Boots on the ground is probably the best answer to that question.
Because if you have a new property and you're going in there for the first time, you could be like, hey, I think this is where the deer are coming from. This is the wind I should hunt.
Yeah, or I
and
think
you can go in there on that wind and they're coming in right downwind from you.
Yeah. Or I think, you don't know where I think the wind's going to behave this way, but you get up 15 foot in the tree and it's behaving differently than it was on the ground. Like, I mean, that's just something that you literally have to try.
Dude, in my vinyl harness, my wind puffer's right there. Dude, I'm almost out of that fucking thing already. I hit another one. But like, I'm always hitting that thing. And it's half the time I'm in there, I'm like, wind's going backwards right here, like, or some weird shit, you know.
But it might be different on the ground.
One of my favorite strategies, I'll get up, I'll find a good run, a trail under me, and if there's a little bit of a, like a hillside there, so I'll get up 15 foot up in the tree, so I'm way over them, but that trail's like 10 yards, I'll pick that wind, blow right, and hit me in the back of the head, so it's literally blowing over the top of them, they'll come right under me and never... Your sense just over them. It just blows over them.
Blowing right over top of them.
Yep. I've killed a lot of deer that way.
It's wind is not an easy answer typically. But it makes you feel good when you think you have it figured out. Entry and exit especially.
Yep.
Like I have a new property I'm hunting this year and I'm like thinking about the wind all the time and just how to make a move on it. And it's tough. It's not easy.
Yep.
But that's what it takes to kill big bucks, I think. I think that's the number one thing.
Yeah, it's a do or die. I mean,
it's a do or die.
Numero uno.
Yep. It's a do or die. Being mindful of the way the wind is going into where you think those deer are at going into the stand is, I mean, if you can figure that part of it out,
your hunt's
not over before it begins.
You know what's funny? When I killed Creepy, and he's a 5.5-year-old buck confirmed. He moved. I hunted him on a wind. I thought he would move on through that area, and he was moving in after some does. But for some reason, dude, it was like fate. He did what big bucks don't typically do, but they might do it sometimes just to get to a point where they can better be back in the wind. He moved the wind to his back for like 100 yards, and that's how I shot him.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
it was weird as shit. I don't know why he did. He left does to turn around and walk to me with the wind to his back.
None of them were hot, and he wanted to circle back and start checking.
I think so. That had to have been it.
Yep. But you hadn't been in there.
To think about though, like why the fuck did he turn around?
Yeah. Well, you hadn't been in there fucking around with him.
No, never.
I mean, as
a hanging bang,
he was confident and letting his guard down to circle back around, and you were there.
That's what he did. That's 100% right.
Don't overdo it and get in there and just skunk the place up.
And don't overthink it. Like a lot of these big deer, especially when the rut's in and everything's going crazy, a lot of times they don't pay attention to wind direction. So a lot of times it's as easy as here's the trail, here's the direction of the wind, get on the side that works for you, and wait for the big fucker to walk by and shoot him.
Like, yeah.
Sometimes it's as easy as that.
Sometimes it is that easy.
Yeah, but when you're talking more about like evening setting and deer coming out to feed, that's when you have to pay more attention.
This is
attention.
Like December, I don't remember the date, December 9th through 12th-ish.
Yeah, when you're talking about deer coming into a field, big deer are going to put that wind in their face. They're going to approach the food source in a direction that favors them. So that's when it gets more technical.
Absolutely.
Right. I can read it now. I brought up my notes here.
Need glasses, bro.
Moving on from wind. I also wrote it like an asshole. This one I want to skip, I think. It was passing deer. And that's just an empty hole. Because that's kind of an opinionated, right?
Yeah, that's up to everybody.
To each his own.
At your own opinion.
To each his own.
We talked about shot placement. Unpopular opinions was my next note.
Huh.
And we're kind of covering different aspects of unpopular opinions.
Mm-hmm. So these were all kind of that.
Can you think of anything off the top of your head that's an unpopular opinion? We're kind of in the middle of it here. So
when you said controversy at the beginning of this, I was hoping the old Ron Pola buck was going to come
up. Let's talk about it then, because I saw him get brought up in a forum today, actually.
The Ron Pola buck special to me.
Okay.
He was killed on November 13th, 1998. Which happens to be the same day that I killed my first big buck with a bow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I remember the date. But
I was going to say, it's awfully specific.
Yeah. You know this buck really well.
It was a Friday. It was a Friday the 13th. But he's just a crazy huge deer. And obviously everybody that sees the picture is interested in him because he would have been the new net typical archery record.
Right.
Because there's huge controversy over it.
He's like, huge.
Still.
The biggest hunting industry controversy. He's like white as shit.
I'd agree.
It's
just the fell biggest. Off the face of the earth.
But yeah. So yeah, go ahead. Keep going. You know more about this.
No, that's all I was going to say. He just was a contender to be the new typical record. And I think the accusation was that the rack had been prefabricated or whatever. Yeah. The picture was posed. And he never even tried to get an entry to the book. He just disappeared. So it was always kind of suspicious. And after looking at several people who were there that day, the game warden and several other people, they said that's a legit deer.
I've heard that too.
I think looking at Mitch's attitude on the whole thing, I almost think that it could be a legit deer. And he's just like, I don't want the attention. I don't want this deer to get taken away from me. And he just left it alone.
I'm trying to pull him up here and there.
I've heard. Well, you can't blame the guy. I mean, if it's maybe. Well, I mean, it's just I get it.
Guys that are wired like that, that just.
He doesn't want the attention.
They want to shoot big deer and be left alone. Like, yeah. Why? Yeah,
true. I've heard so many things about the dude, how he's legit. He's a big buck. Isn't he from Michigan?
I think he is.
Yeah.
Michigan, yeah.
Can you pull it up on the screen?
Yeah, well, I'll pull it up here. Mitch Rompla.
Look at this. This is when 98.
What 1998? Yep.
All right, hold on here.
Goddamn, I was eight.
So,
8 years old.
That was a crazy day. The weather was perfect for it.
Hold on here.
In Illinois and Michigan,
trying to juggle.
He killed it in Michigan.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's where he's from.
Just kidding. Huh. Michigan? Yeah, it's fake.
Michigan's fake?
Michigan? Yeah, it's fake.
It's got to be.
It's not a real place.
Everybody from Michigan complains about how there's no deer there. So,
if you could make the perfect typical deer, that's what this deer is. I mean, the beams come straight out, straight forward, and straight back in.
I've seen this picture before.
The tines are huge. The spread is huge. The mass is really the only thing that's like mediocre on him, and it's not really even mediocre. But it's just...
So I think what people's the issue here. So he's a typical
12.
He's a typical 12, and I think people see the
like 28 inch spread.
They see the spread and the gap on like burr to burr, on the base to base, pretty much, and say that's just not how a deer's antlers sit on a buck.
Uh huh.
Because a lot of controversy was like the plate was split, right?
I've heard that.
Everything possible.
Everything in the book is thrown at this buck. You think that's legit?
When I read the testimonies of the two or three people that were actually there and got to see that deer upon examination, they had nothing suspicious to say about that deer.
Right. Hey, Doug.
And it's 1998.
And one of them was
there's no Photoshop going on there.
One of them was a game warden.
That's a good point. Let me see. I'm on wideopenspaces.com, which I'll be honest, I don't love.
My honest opinion and gut feeling is the old boy just didn't want the recognition and didn't want the deer to get taken from him. He said, fuck this, and he went back to his little hole in the wall and took the monster with him.
Yeah. Well, it could be. There's some videos. Because
the deer has never been seen since, right?
Never heard anything
from him. There's a couple of video interviews there, but I can't really open them on the podcast here. Is this the mount right here?
I like the hoax one there.
This one?
Yeah.
But I have seen...
That looks like him.
Yeah, that looks like the mount. This thing is insane. I mean, yeah, I could see how it was like a contending record type buck. Is that like a...
Well, it just looks like
it's Michigan.
The Hansen buck's 213, and I can't remember what this one was, but he was like 3 or 4 inches above it, if I remember right.
Well, I think that just looks so... unreal that people could see why.
Unreal.
Yeah. It is. It looks unreal. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, the spread looks fake. I mean, he just looks like
it comes off his head.
Here's a North American whitetail. World record.
Part three.
Rumors versus reality, part three.
This might have been where I read. I can't remember.
I don't even know what deer this is. See, we're just dove into a rabble. There's a Mitch Rumpel, but see, it's the same photo. I don't know, man.
That's the only like photo of the buck, ain't it?
In 1998, Mitch Rumpel claimed to have broken the world record with the super wide typical from Northern Michigan, but he never entered the rack into any record book or even proved it was real.
Then why'd he claim it and then not enter it?
He couldn't have entered because he's exceeded 65% let off. That's
the rack was entered in. Hold on. The rack was never entered into any record book, though in early 99, three measurers scored at 216 and 5.8 net points on behalf of, I can't read that word.
Commemorative.
Bucks of Michigan.
Commemorative.
What made Bucks the lack of an entry into CBM curious was that Mitch once had served as a club's scoring chairman. Some who doubt the deer's legitimacy focus more on Mitch than the animal. Among other things, they note that he has a criminal record, which they say proves he isn't credible. They say the fact that he never entered the rack into Boone and Crockett means it must be a fake. He couldn't enter into Pope and Young if he wanted to, as his bow exceeded the maximum 65% let off allowable. That's, you know, different now. You got the old asterisk. They say that even before November 13, 98, he had a detailed plan to profit from killing a number one buck, meaning this likely was all just an elaborate scam.
Uh-huh. They're probably voting for Biden.
Yeah.
Well,
COVID.
In 98.
In 98, yep.
This article, I'm not sure how much of the above is relevant. A lot of people also have criminal records, but that doesn't make them liars. Not everyone elects to enter deer into the record book. That's a personal decision. And even if Mitch had planned out a strategy for cashing in on killing a potential number one deer he was hunting, that's not unthinkable. Many other hunters might have done so too. So for the moment, let's leave Mitch out of this. Let's deal with just the deer, starting with the claim that he's bogus because he couldn't have lived in Grand Traverse County. So this is going into a whole other thing. How many counties in North America have grown more than one buck grossing over 220 typical? I don't know, man. I don't know what I believe.
I don't either at this point.
Going fake?
I'm leaning fake.
I'm also leaning fake.
Because why the fuck wouldn't you just measure it? If it was a world record and you were being hounded that hard, why wouldn't you just be like, fine, God, leave me alone. All right, here it is. Let's just measure it.
That's a good point.
Man, like, why would you, like, why the big deal? If it's a record, just let it be the record.
There's some fruity dudes out there.
He's from Michigan. It's fake. I'm just kidding.
It's an alien.
It's alien. I don't have any reason to believe it.
An interesting controversy nonetheless. Like, probably the most controversial deer that I can think remember. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Canadians are way nicer, right? But you got, like, Milo Hansen. He's just like, dude, he's not a hardcore hunter.
Dude, he's held that thing since, like, 92 or 93.
And it's a stud. But he's just kind of like, shot it with a rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah, here it is. Can't believe it. You know, like, just humble dudes. Like, yeah, check, come look at it. Cool. It's a record. You know, like, either Mitch Rompla, it just legitimate, did not want any attention, or he's a dick. I don't know.
Let's call him.
We should.
Find him.
He's got to still be around.
Somebody's got to know him. Unless he died. I don't know. I don't know how.
That'd be a podcast for you.
Oh, Jesus.
He'd never do it. If he ain't going to enter his bucket of the record, but he's not going to have some drunk motherfucker from Illinois be like,
come on, man. All the Bushlight you can drink. You never know.
Yeah. You never know. What do you need, man? We'll buy you a steak.
Hey, the worst thing you can say is no.
That's right. I'll reach out to him. He's got to have a Facebook, right? He's probably on there getting people shit.
He's the kind of guy that seems like he'd have a Facebook page.
He's probably in a mobile hunters forum somewhere.
Instagram, Snapchat.
Under Matt Rampla.
He's in there bitching about delayed orders and shit.
Up Michigan.
I ordered your double step 14 weeks ago. You told me three.
Son of a bitch. Should have been here 2 years ago.
Son of a bitch. Well, you should have ordered it 6 months before season. You knew better. God damn it, Mitch.
Yeah, I'd be like, Mitch, is it real? He's like, hell yeah, it's real. Did you bring it?
Nah, I didn't bring it. I didn't bring it.
I lost it.
But you, I lost.
But
I lost.
You can imagine what it looked like.
Yeah, you should have seen that deer I passed
you
last year.
You saw a picture in 98, hey, right?
Craziest fucking story. I was driving on the road, hit a pothole, flew out, never seen it again. Never seen it again.
It's gone.
Gone with the wind.
Like a fart in the wind.
We had like 0.1% chance of getting him on the podcast. Then someone's like, hey, listen to this. And he's like,
these guys.
Now we're in the negatives.
He probably didn't even
He's like, it. I thought about doing it. I listen to him all the time, but now I'm not doing it.
He was a fan.
He's a fan. He's a fan. Oh, fuck. Damn it, Mitch. I'm sorry.
Love that till you shit on Michigan. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out.
No, we love Michigan,
come
actually.
Back, Mitch.
Mitch,
come
Mitch.
Back. We're your friend.
Anyway.
We'll send you a Michigan hat.
That's a good one. I'm glad you brought that up. I would love to interview him. I would be respectful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I know. I just, do people want to know? But that's the thing. Like, why don't you just be like, dude, it's real. Here's some pictures of the skull plate.
Yeah, it's been since 98. Just fucking.
And how are you going to shoot a deer like that and, like, that's the only picture?
Maybe he likes the what ifs or everybody just wondering.
So dude, people are weird.
Fuck that.
I'm going to leave you motherfuckers. Hey,
people are like that, though. I don't know.
People are weird.
It's weird.
That's true. They are weird.
I could name like 10 of them that would probably be doing
He'd
the
probably
same
be
thing.
Be like, yeah, weird. I killed that buck. I also killed Bigfoot. He's like, oh, fuck. Here we go.
Walk into his house. Bigfoot's mounted
bitch,
in the
Mitch.
Corner.
Yeah. He's got one.
Mitch, son of a bitch.
He's got a Bigfoot carcass in his freezer. We're like, what? Yep, sorry.
Yeah,
Mitch.
He convinced us the buck's real. And at the end, by the way, I killed Bigfoot. I
imagine,
like, son of a
bitch. Imagine if Instagram was around when Mitch Rapala killed that buck.
Oh, Jesus. Dude.
A little bit on the story.
Nessie's in his freezer also.
Nessie.
Dude, he would have been getting so many
out of the water,
yeah. So much boat. Like influencer attention.
Oh, dude, he'd been all over.
He's just getting so much attention. Follows from girls who only kill geese. That'd be awesome.
That's Wait, cool. Geese? You mean one goose?
My boy Mitch.
My boy Mitch up there in Michigan.
My boy Mitch. My best friend Mitch.
Sent a bunch of nudes for a guy to duck hunt with Mitch.
You're my boy Mitch.
It's fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Man,
next,
we went off the rails.
It is what it is.
Hey, it's episode 400 again.
It is what it is. You know?
Yeah, we can do whatever we want. Whatever. It's our show. If you want to quit listening after this, we made it this far. Last one I have, and Ross threw this out mid-episode. You probably heard me whisper it, and Ross whispered it earlier.
We're whispering.
Decoys.
Mm-hmm. Is that a yay? You want me to start?
Yeah, you're the guy.
Okay, well.
Nice. All
right. So.
That was an evil fucking laugh.
I've played this whole hem-hawing back and forth thing all night, but I guess I can hem-haw my way into this decoy thing. Other than using a DSD, I've got a DSD. It took me a few years to finally decide to spend the money to get one. That buck's nasty. I put it out. I went in with the wind we talked about, with a plan on this big ridge, went in their favor, went in my favor, knew this buck was in there. Trail cam pictures looked way better, but I was like, well, this is the one I'm after. And sure enough, he came out following four does. I actually doubled up on decoys that night, and I put this DSD in front of the, whatever her name is, PP Doe or
Daisy.
Whatever.
PP Doe.
The Doe.
It's one of them inflatable does with like the realistic hair on her.
It was like a flambeau, Doe.
You've seen those? I think it's Tinks might make it.
Could just imagine a blow what it looks up?
It's an inflatable doe, but it looks like there's like real hair on it. It's got like a covering. Man. I got to look it up.
Can we talk about the decoys in South Dakota?
We will talk about that, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Ross.
That's cool. So I doubled up decoys. So I had him in front of her, and he's a posturing, ears back, pissed off.
Yeah.
And so I had him like guarding her type of thing, and she's like squatting and prime time, ready to rock. And he came out of the bedding area following those does, and he saw the pair of them and turned, came right underneath me 8 yards and blasted him. And then, so that was a decoying situation where it worked out exactly like I planned it. He wasn't the buck that I, as big as I hoped he was. But anyway, and then over the years, I've played with like the Boss Buck decoy and the Fuzzy Wuzzy or whatever his name is from Primos.
Harry.
That might be what I'm thinking of. Harry.
Harry Buttafuoco.
I've got Harry.
Harry Paratesticles. So
that might be the one I'm thinking of.
So yeah, and that one worked out pretty good too. But my encounters with bucks with that decoy were all 130s, and they posture and they get pissy and they're ready to fight. But all the big ones just didn't give a shit. They were just walked on by. So over 10, 15 years of hunting, it's a cool thing to have in your arsenal. If you have a DSD, the other ones, it's more of like a 10 to 15% chance that it'll work in your favor.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's you're educating deer. by throwing a decoy.
The Primo's hairy decoy.
No, I've got Harry in my basement right now.
You do?
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Harry and the Hendersons?
Oh, man. His eyes are the size of bowling balls. And
I'm just laughing, looking at all the pictures of decoys that Kurt's pulling up. Like, yeah, you're expecting a live animal to walk up.
Yeah, that looks like shit. I'd rather have all the Buckstrom boys dressed like a deer eye as a human centipede.
In this situation, when I killed that buck with the DSD and the doe, I actually stole Harry's tail because I've got a Harry and I've got a boss buck decoy.
Pin the tail
plus
on the
DSD. I pin the fucking tail on the doe.
With a nail.
See, the Primo Scarface looks pretty good.
Hey, while we're on this subject, I've got a hairy decoy for sale if anybody wants it. It's in my basement.
How much? $4?
I've used it 2 times in 13 years.
Like new?
Yeah,
clean,
it is.
Clean one
like
owner.
New.
No pets.
Clean one owner.
Mitch Rompel.
No, hey, no, no smoking. Pets. No
guaranteed pets. To kill a Rompola type.
I got a Boss Babe decoy that my uncle gave me.
Boss Babe, maybe that's her.
That's an okay decoy. Like, I can see how that would work.
She's a clean,
clean
one there.
God, dude, what decoy? It's got to be a. I'm going to find that. The one I was talking about. I think it's Tinks.
Tinks made a decoy?
Tinks made a decoy?
This yeah, is dude. New.
I think I've used the decoy maybe 3 days. And mm-hmm. I did have a couple little bucks come into it one time. And it's cool to watch deer react to the decoy. Like, they bristle, they mm-hmm. get aggressive and walk up to him. Like, and I think especially with the recurve, you can really position them where you want them to be.
Yep.
But when I think about a big buck coming out and looking at that, I'm like, there ain't no fucking way I'm going to roll the dice on a big deer right. coming out and no. looking at yeah. that thing.
It's kind of like the sense. I mean, you just...
I'm going to say no because I've tried it a few times, and every time deer just kind of walk by and they look at it.
Or you piss off just a bunch keep of does.
You got the right. Tinks Miss November doe decoy.
Miss November?
It's like she's sick, dude. She got EHE and couldn't find a creek.
Hey, wait, by the way, it's currently unavailable.
She can't run away.
Yeah, currently unavailable because no one fucking bought it. That's great.
The thing
I like
about
how you can
is,
zoom in on it, too.
Whatever you do.
Is that a cow's head?
I don't know if this is right, wrong, or indifferent, but if I put a decoy out, I want something to blow in the wind to make some form of movement. It can't just stand there.
Yeah, you know we used one of the Reinhardt decoys for antelope hunting.
Yep.
And the wind, it was it's thin. It's almost like target material, but like the body pieces together, the neck pieces onto it, and then the head pieces onto the neck. And we had like a good wind. My dad missed a goat. Coming in off that. We still have
the wind was blowing the head around.
It was blowing around just enough that they looked at it and they're like, oh shit, that might be like a thing. And my dad missed one at 50. He missed, right, but it full blown spun his arrow. Like, right. If it wouldn't have, he would have hit it. It's insane. It's on Buckstorm's YouTube. We'll do a follow up podcast on that here soon. But anywho, yeah, decoys, me.
Movement. You gotta have movement if you're going to have a decoy.
Yeah.
You need tails waving in the wind. Yep. Little pieces of feather on their ears so that it's moving. You got to give some form of movement if you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It
not has just to be the a perfect situation. Just stand there for an hour.
I've never used one, but there was like 4 years ago behind me is a big grass patch and it's about 180 incher. And I did like the, like you said, tinkle the horns real quick because the last did hurrah I had. And he bolted right to me and got to the fence and stood there looking for the buck. I think if I had a decoy.
Yep.
He would have jumped.
I might have sold it.
And that's the
perfect. That's the only time I wanted.
But that's the thing. You got to have the perfect, the wind, the everything's got
to
be just
right.
Literally,
he just had to jump the fence 20 yards and I would have smoked him.
If it's that right time of year and you're in a field where it's super high visibility and you might have a buck come out 200 yards away and see that thing where you can, like you say, call at him or whatever before, have him come out and see that. I mean, I see where they could work. You see guys kill big deer off decoys all the time.
Absolutely.
If he's already running in, number one, then he sees what he thinks is a buck, he'd be like, oh,
talk to Philip Vanderpool. Kills him over
He'll do it all the time. That's
time.
True.
Yep.
He loves
but over the highest end decoy you can get.
DSD.
True.
DSD. Yep. You know. Which is stupid. They're $700, but.
Are they $700?
Yeah, they're real.
It's a lot
shit,
of money. And it's
DSD,
it's a lot of effort.
Yeah, send us one. Let's try it. Trying to send us one. You know, we'll review
They are badass decoys. I'm not going to lie.
Sounds like 6 of them. We'll review them, dude. We'll give you a good review.
Well, if not,
podcast.
Kurt has
if
6
not,
bucks
you
on
guys,
the field.
Throw in some turkey decoys while you're at it.
Yeah, throws. You know, that's hard to argue with.
Oh, no doubt.
I'm a believer.
Best decoys in the business.
I'm a believer, but I'm not going to lie. I do like those Avian X ones.
Dude, I've killed a lot of birds
on
that.
You just shit on your pitch
jig.
To DSD.
DSD, though, are way better.
you know.
Right.
Like, I would kill way more.
You had a chance. You had a chance.
They're the best decoys.
I'd probably
use them all the time.
I'd probably kill like 170-inch deer and talk about it every time if I had some DSD deer decoys. But
me too.
We'll talk about that at the end, about those turkeys, because that is where Turkey Palooza is worth mentioning now, because it's like application time, right?
Holla, holla.
Oh, shit. Do I need to apply for a tag?
If you guys are out there.
I have not applied yet. But
if you guys are out there putting in an eight-hour day.
Do Iowa boys have to apply?
Well, yeah.
All right. I need to make sure.
Well, let us know what we need to do. Sure, dude, get in. We need a free-for-all. I want like 15 guys on this thing.
Well, let us know. Let us know when the Iowa guys need to apply for whatever we need to do.
Right now, first lotteries right now.
But it goes for a long time. Like, you have months to do it. But it's not – I mean, if you want to do it, get on right now and do it.
So I'm going to try – how many tags can you draw for turkey in Illinois? Two?
Three.
I'm probably going to try and draw three then, because I'll probably apply tomorrow on lunch and get like a – certain county, but we just need to figure out when Turkey Palooza is.
Right, we need to set a date, but I'm guessing it'll be
not Father's Day.
Fourth or fifth season, late like we usually do.
I like fifth.
Yep.
Because then it's like all the turkeys have been called at and we're just like hustling.
Yeah.
It's kind of more fun.
I like first, second.
Except for that, dude, I'm not going to lie, I watch that DCAT video a lot. I haven't watched it for a while.
That's fun.
It was the dopest shot I've ever made.
What kind of decoys you have there?
DSD, all DSD.
That's what I
disagree. I don't think it's the dopest shot. I think the dopest shot was Kansas. That was a bomb.
Hard to argue with.
And that was pretty far.
Yeah, that was a cool shot. I don't know then. It was the decap was cool. It was so close.
Yeah, decaps, I mean, they're just fucking badass.
It's another ball game.
The Kansas scenario was unique because it was not a traditional turkey hunt.
That's cold as fuck.
It felt like November, like a cold November morning.
Hey, great video. I like watching it. That was warm.
Yeah, you're probably warm watching it.
Yeah. We froze our feet off in Kansas that one time. That's episode 2, Carbon TV, first season 1.
That was a good time.
Yeah, we'll revisit
that. We're on decoys, though, can we touch on South Dakota decoys?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that back.
Real quick.
Yeah. I hope that dude listens to the podcast. He for sure doesn't. But
probably not. But he might have seen the sticker or something, because we're...
We should have put one on his decoys.
Or put a little card in his truck window.
yeah, that's a good idea. We're out in South Dakota. We were hunting a strip of round bales.
Yep.
Then
Walk on ground.
Walk in. A strip of round bales. Hey, you did what I did. I love it. It just must be an out-of-stater guy thing, you know? Strip of round bales, cut wheat field. Cornfield that the farmer's cutting one row at a time for silage,
yep,
which is fucking miserable. Ton of goats in there, and it was like a almost 2 mile hike.
Yeah, 2 mile hike and
almost a 2 mile hike to get. So
a lot of goats,
a lot of effort for most people, right? Like we walk in to carry, we carried a blind, chairs, decoys,
the whole 9 yards. We carried it in there.
How many times did we walk in and out of there all week? Fuck.
Five, six times.
More than that, I bet.
I don't know. Fuck, I don't know.
Fuck, we hunted it 4 days, 5 days, and walked it twice, you know, in and out each time.
Yeah.
It was the long way back there to not be successful each time, whatever. Anyway, this dude, well, the first morning we sat there, I can't remember, were you with us for the first morning?
It was you and Papa Dave. And you're like, this guy, or no, you've seen a bunch of goats, and then you're like, oh shit, these goats are standing there. And all of a sudden, you've seen the guy, and he's like, man, those fucking decoys look awesome.
Right. It gets daylight, and I'm glassed with my loopholes, and I'm looking through, and I see, like, on the edge of this hayfield, I'm like,
over by the round bales.
I'm like, fucking
goats over
there. There's a guy, I saw the guy first.
Oh.
I was like, there's a fucking guy on the other side of that round bale. My dad's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I'm like, yeah, he's right there, like straight out from us. Like he saw our ground blind. He's like, yeah, I'm sitting straight out from these motherfuckers. I'm like,
this is the spot.
And I'm like, dude, come
on. Yeah, but wasn't it like his decoy was on one side and he was on the other? And you're like, there's a goat literally on the other side of him.
Yeah.
He might not know.
He had his decoy out and he was sitting flat on his butt.
Like, back against the round bale.
On the end of the round. Flat on his butt, like unprepared. Couldn't draw. There's no way he could have drawn his bow. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, he's got like a couple decoys. And his decoy, I kept seeing him pick his decoy up. I'm like, man, this decoy looks super good. Like really real. But none of the goats are like paying attention to him. And I'm looking at all his decoys. Well, I'm like, oh, he's got a bunch of decoys out there. And anyway, a couple of days go by, and you and Jeremy hunt the ground.
Me and Jeremy go out, and we see some bucks on the other side of the farm by the round bale. So we're like, okay, we're going to sneak over that way, which is totally opposite the way we've been walking in, which is up by some barns and some bins and stuff. So we're like, yeah, we'll sneak up these bins. Might be able to cut them off. So we go up there, and there's a whole deer cart of decoys. But this guy must have been a taxidermy or something, because they were like stuffed.
What?
Antelope. There's
like legit shoulder mounts on.
Shoulder mounts, full body mounts on metal stands, and he put them together.
Christ,
and put the heads
on.
How many
did he
have? There was three on this one cart.
Jesus.
Yeah, three decoys. We sat out. I could see.
I got a picture of it.
We're sitting out, and you could see he just had them sprinkled around. Well, my dad and I were watching him, and he was like, he'd go up to the farmer's round bales, and he rolled. He was like, put all his weight into it to roll the round bales around to make like the certain decoy. Well, it's funny. We never did a follow up podcast on this, but we'll kind of do it now. So we went back in. We knew the guy was in there. We saw his truck there. He was there all day. Like he was in there all fucking day long. Well, we kind of stayed out of his way. Like we knew there's goats and it was kind of painful. We're like, we'll just go find another goat. Like we're battling consistently decoy goats trying to decoy goats. Like the odds weren't there, right? So we go in like 1 o'clock. And I love how we just go from whitetail straight to fucking antelope.
It's fine. Well, because we were talking about decoys, so we had to bring this up.
Yeah,
we had
yeah.
to.
So we walk all the way the fuck in there. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This dude's leaving. We see him carrying his decoy. He walks up to the bins, and we see him leave out. And, you know, 2 mile hike out. Like, so this dude's putting in effort just to get to the spot, just like we are.
Yeah, carrying 400 pounds of decoys.
Yeah, well, he would leave them. He'd park them by the bins. We didn't know that until they walked up and found all the decoys. But he would, like, he carted that in and parked it there, like 2 miles fucking in. Anyway, so we get in there. We see him leave. We're like, cool, so we got the spot to ourselves. There's goats. We see goats way the hell out. We see goats bedded. Huge piece of walk-in property, like huge. But it's just a little too much effort for the average dude to get in there. So I'm like, all right, here's what we need to do. Someone needs to get in that ground blind just in case with a decoy. So Papa Dave gets in the ground blind with a decoy. There's some standing corn. And we see some goats down the way. So Eric and I stalk through the standing corn, blow the stalk because they're wiry as hell. They're just nothing but.
By the way, the corn, like if you're from the Midwest, like Iowa, Illinois, the corn's 8 feet tall here.
Yeah.
South Dakota, it's about 3 feet
tall. It was Joe Biden corn.
Yep.
So we're walking through this Joe Biden corn, blow the stalk, get there, just not winning corn, you know? And we're walking through, it's hotter than fuck. We're out in the open and we're glassing. I'm like, dude, there's a bunch of goats way the hell out there, and they're bedded on the shady side, the north end side of those
the bales.
And
they're laying in the shade.
Dude,
they're bedded down the shade.
They're way out there, too.
Way out there.
And by the way, like I'm already tagged out. Like I've filled my interception tag, so I'm just guide. Like,
interception!
I'm all in to get my boys fucking antelope. So I'm like, dude, what if we jaunt down, walk right by my dad in the ground by him like a bunch of dick bags?
Like, your old man probably had to think, like, what in the fuck are they doing?
He had no idea because he couldn't see the goats, how they were bedded. And I was like, let's just try it. So we get around. We finally get to the hay bales. Then we get to the bales. You can kind of just, if you're tippy-toed, you can peek over them. We're looking. I'm like, all right, they're still bedded there. We see two are out in the open. One's bedded out in the sun. One's bedded in the shade, but they, like, to where they could see us. And I'm looking, but they looked like younger antelope, you know, like yearling type antelope.
Like we're in the cornfield, a picked hay or wheat field, and then the round bale. So we had to cross the cornfield, the picked wheat field to get over the hay bales where they're at.
Yeah,
so we're running right across the wide open field.
We're at the first bale at this point.
We made it to the first bale.
And it's hotter than fuck. We're out in the sun. We're fucking Caucasian. You know, it is what it is. You know, white privilege, you know, I don't know what that is. So I'm peeking over this bale, and I'm like, all right, we're good for, like, three bales of, like, pretty easy, like, 30-yard gaps.
Oh, yeah.
We make the gap, look, nobody caught us. Make the next gap to the next bale, no one caught us. Well, the next gap is, like, 80 yards.
Yep.
And I'm like, dude, I don't know if we're going to do this. And I have my Montana, like, flat decoy, and I'm in front of Eric, right? I'm like, I'm the decoy man. That's my job.
Yeah.
I'm right behind him, like,
And our wind,
nuts to butts, I'm right behind him.
And our wind is good, but it's getting worse as we get closer, right? It's quartering wind. Go back to our wind segment. And I'm like, all right, we just go for it.
We made the last bail, and the next move is like we're running right at them, getting right on top of them.
And it's a miracle we made it that far.
Yeah.
Because there's one goat, there's two goats bed out in the open. They were sleeping, eyes closed, didn't see us. Like, we got lucky as fuck. We get to the point where we're like, okay, no more bales. It's the bales they're bedded in and one bale real close. And then there's the bale with the buck is bedded behind. And I watched him. Eric was leaning down, resting. I was the dude doing like exhausting stuff because he has to shoot. So I'm looking, I'm like, dude, that buck went behind the bale. He was looking at his does. I never saw him pop out. He had to have bedded down. We got to make our moves and make them fairly quick. So now we're out of bales. We have the two goats bedded in the open. We know there's mature does bedded behind the bales and the buck bedded behind the bale where he can't see us. So I'm like, okay, we need to run over, line up the one bale closer to them to where the two out in the open can't see us. And it's squeezing it tight. Like, they're on the edges of each of the bales.
Because if we go on one side, the one doe in the open sees us. We go on the other side, the other doe in the open sees us. So we're trying to squeeze that gap.
If you watch us from a distance, we look so dumb because I'm running with a decoy like this and I'm edging. I'm like, okay, I can kind of see that one. All right, get behind me, straight behind me. All right, here we go. We're engine forward. We get to 120 yards. I have my rangefinder out of my vinyl harness, ranging over the decoy. That bill's 120 yards. That goat's bedded behind there. I'm like, dude, we got to cut this in half. We get to 60 yards. I'm like, dude, 10 more yards. We're going to go 10 more yards. And Eric's like, dude, we're this far. Fuck it. Let's try it. We get to 55 yards or whatever it was. And I'm like, I don't want to go any closer. We're out of bales. If we go any further, the does are going to see us and spook. I stick the Montana decoy stakes into the bale. I'm sit up on my knees, like my knees are the front leg of the antelope, and my head is behind the head of the antelope, and I have my rangefinder over it, and I'm like, it's 55 yards, or it's...
It was like 50 yards to the bale, the front side that's facing us, and he's on the opposite side of the bale.
So I said, set your sight to 55 yards, or whatever it was, and we sat, and we're in the open cooking. I'm looking, I'm like, just chill. And you're like to the right of me a little bit. And I'm just waiting with my rangefinder up, waiting. We probably waited for 25 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And then you're like, you first run up, you sit down on your knees, and you're like, oh, shit, my legs are falling asleep. So you're trying to reposition. It's tough. It was tough.
So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden I see the head of the goat pop up, the buck. And I'm like, draw. I don't know if you saw him right away. I don't really.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, draw. And this sucker's wide. He's not tall. He's just wide. He goes straight out.
Like a regular antelope goes straight up. He goes straight out.
50 yards on a goat is like a 15-yard shot on a whitetail.
Right. You're in the chips there.
He pops out three quarters of the way.
The first time he popped out, you can just see his neck. He just kind of looks around the bale, you know.
So he gets he's looking at his nose, and he looks over and sees a decoy. Then he steps out and looks, and he's like broadside. And I'm looking down through the range, and I'm like, squeeze a shot off. And then I'll let you tell the story, Eric, because it's your shot.
Oh, yeah. So as soon as we see him, his head pop up, Kurt's like, draw back. I draw. I'm waiting. He finally steps out. I settle the pen. Squeeze one off. Fuck.
Dude, I'm watching through the rangefinder, because I'm like this, every 2 seconds, I'm like, click, click. I'm making sure that bale didn't roll.
Right.
And, you know,
which it didn't.
Just because.
Right.
I want to be prepared. Like, I don't want the what the fuck happened. Click, 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 click. He stands up. Click, 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 click. Click, click, click. 54 yards. He had it set on 55. Yep. And I see the arrow through the rangefinder right underneath him. And I'm like, oh, fuck, Eric. And I'll let you finish the story because it's your deal.
I shot right underneath him, and Kurt's like, I'm fucking pissed.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to calm you down.
I'm like, fuck this. I'm out. Like, I sat down behind a bale.
It was hotter than fuck. We made the most impossible stock of all time.
Your skin sizzling.
The super sneak of a lifetime. Mohican sneak, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I'm like, I don't know how the fuck I missed. Like, I settled it. It felt awesome. Slowly squeezed it off. Let it go. I felt great about it. Went right underneath him.
Damn.
Well, sounds like an epic stock for sure.
Oh, it was nuts. I'll never forget the stock, that's for sure. I'll never forget the shot.
The bug is cool, too. He's just a wide sucker.
Fucker.
One of these days, I'm going to go out there and play that game with you guys. That looks like a blast.
Dude, the more the merrier out there. It is.
It's a fucking blast.
It's a tough fucking hunt, man. It is hard.
Harder than you. I thought it'd be easier than what it was, but it's fucking hard.
We went the last week of season. They've been decoyed. Like, we're hunting goats off the road. Like, those were 2 miles in the antelope, and they were pressured.
Right.
And, you know, the one I shot was off the road. The one I shot last year was off the road. Like, more luck, you know. It's circumstance, like how it is set up and all that shit, you know, just like anything. But,
well, and then come to find out, Kurt was like, well, he was like in front of me, right to my left. He's like, your bow sounded weird. I'm like, the shot felt fucking amazing. Settled it, squeezed it off, felt great. I'm like, all right, for shits and grins, when you go back to camp, we got a target. I'm going to shoot my bow at, you know, I started 20, went back to 50. 50 yards, I was 5 inches low.
Ugh.
Oh. So I don't know if my...
And then what I say, I was like, dude, you were 6 inches low. That's what I said after the shot. I was like, it was like 6 inches low.
And I shot that first one at 50, felt good at the target, let it go, 5 inches low.
Damn.
Shot another one. Right next to that, 5 inches low. So well, I don't know if my sight got bumped or...
I mean, there's a lot of
shit. I wish I could say it was myself. I would totally blame it on myself that I rushed it, made a bad shot.
What we should have done, we should have shot our bows. They're in cases. They're getting bumped around on a 13-hour drive. We're moving them around.
Plus, we already made a couple stocks at that point. We were crawling around and doing all kinds of crazy shit you don't even realize.
Yep. Yeah, you could have bumped it and not known. You could have... Who knows? Anything could have... That's just part of it.
Right, right.
But yeah,
at the time I was pissed off, but at the same time I'm like, well,
it is what it is. I'll tell you, when I came home from that hunt, I came in and I petted my antelope I shot last year, and I was like, dude, that's a good buck. I was kind of being like down on myself, like, he's an okay first antelope. I came home, I was like, we all would have shot that buck this week.
Fuck yeah.
So dude, it's tough. Wiry animals.
Oh, and 1 second you think you're on them, the next second they're 4 miles away. It's
no joke, man. It's no joke. I want to go back again. I want to build some points and hunt some less pressured antelope one day. I'm building some Wyoming points, some Colorado points.
Man, can't believe the number of goats we saw on the way out for that bear hunt. Wyoming. God,
what did we see? What did we see? Like 300?
I bet you we saw 400 antelope in an hour.
Yeah.
Driving?
A lot.
No shit.
Wyoming's nuts for antelope.
There were goats
man.
Everywhere.
I'm building points for Wyoming, building points for Utah, building points for Colorado. I love antelope. They taste so good. They're so fun to hunt. There's a ton of them. It's a hunt that really challenges your ninja skills.
It does, for sure.
Definitely.
By the way, Nux.
Yeah.
Do you think you could...
That was a Mohican sneak of a
you think you'd sneak up on
century.
A whitetail now?
Given the right circumstance, fuck yeah. But nice. You don't get those circumstances you typically.
I just did it the other day. Had that little buck at 5 yards.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
And that was in my blue jeans.
There you go.
blue jeans and a plaid shirt.
With a Budweiser.
I think once you make some sneaks on an antelope with nothing to sneak. The cool thing about antelope hunting, you had to pick out your terrain before you make the stalk. So it kind of like develops your brain differently for hunting. Like it's like, you know, the watering hole when I ran in, it's like, well, there's the low spot. We got to run fucking fast right now, get to that low spot, then wait for 3 minutes for the antelope to get down, then sprint our asses off to get to the high spot while the antelope are in the low spot. You're working high and low spots and wind. That's it.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And like the very first stalk of the trip I made, and you guys were watching from the road.
On the booner.
And there's a picture on Buckstorm's Facebook, Instagram, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, Kurt and Jeremy were in the truck, and they're like, shoot him. He's like 35 yards away.
The whole time I'm like, standing, why is he not shooting?
We're standing straight up, and we can barely see his rack, but he's like 120 yards away.
Yeah.
But their eyes from the road, he looks like he's 35 yards away down the hill from us. You know, and we're standing straight up, no decoy out. We're just standing there like a bunch of idiots, it looks like.
Yeah.
But we can barely see him scooting across
below the hill. It's very exhausting physically because it was just a lot of like awkward movement. It's like consistent yoga.
And then, because you're just like doing slow, weird movements. But then you're sprinting full blast, and then you got to be still. Then you got to draw your bow and settle and shoot calm at a long shot. Yeah. You're not getting 20, 30-yard shots.
Because we would even drive around, we'd see them, and it's all of a sudden, let's go after them. You're jumping out of the truck, you're grabbing your bow, and you're full sprinting as fast as you can toward that antelope.
It's fun, dude.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Like
a blast. It would be a ton of fun with all of us.
I was going to say, it'd be a fun group hunt and get all the boys together.
Running and gunning.
We should do it.
Hell yeah.
We should do it. Tags are cheap. $260. You apply, you're like guaranteed to get your tag, pretty much. You know, it's not over the counter, but dude, it's so much fun. We should do it. The Buckstrom boys, they'd love to have us in. The only thing is, like, the more people, the further out we got to drive. You drive a lot. You spend a lot of time in the truck. Spend a lot of time looking through your glass, but yeah. I think it hones your skills.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a fun group trip. It'd be fun to get a hunt together where we could all have an opportunity to hunt an animal, you know, and an antelope hunt would be a good way.
Especially,
to do that.
Yeah, all the boys together.
Be a lot of fun. Be a ton of fun. We camped in the same spot as we did the year before. And, dude, the Buckstrom boys are such good dudes. They're such good guys.
Let's do it.
So they canceled the ATA show, but the weekend after ATA is Nebraska. Nebraska has not canceled, and the Buckstrom is our booth neighbors.
Nice.
So you guys have to come out. We get to hang out. They're honestly, they're some of the best guys I've ever met, and some of the best people in hunting. I truly believe that. I feel like their videos get people sleep on what they're doing, just because they're not like big and flashy about it. They're very humble. They're real about their videos, and they show you if you want to actually see how it is. That's the
It's not like
it's not overproduced,
like sped up too. Like the stock is a stock.
Yep, they show it. Like, if you legitimately are interested in doing these hunts, they are the guys to watch.
Yeah.
They're the guys to learn from.
They're good dudes.
Pretty cool, man. It's fun. We should do that hunt.
I'm excited for a Nebraska show, actually.
I'm really excited for Nebraska this year. It's going to be probably our only trade show. I'm hoping to blow it out of the water. Lincoln, Nebraska. We got to find a bar to go drink at. We watched a dude snap his leg last year.
Oh, dude, I
you guys weren't there, were you?
No.
I remember physically seeing that leg snap.
Watch this poor soul. Tyler's there. Tyler's sitting in the studio. Like, dude, watch this poor soul.
I was
soul.
There, but I wasn't there because remember I was sick as fuck.
You were sick, yeah. You had like a...
No,
you were with us still though, right?
I was
not
at,
that night.
I was at the show you were sick at. Wasn't that Iowa?
That was Deer Classic.
No, there's two shows I was sick as shit at.
One show, Nebraska, you were
you
sick.
Stayed you stayed in.
I drove the truck.
That was the Iowa, and I got sick. I was sick the night before.
You stayed in that night, Eric. The dude broke his leg, right? You were.
Yeah, I got sick at the
remember, show. Remember Johnny Utah? Since he was like a police officer, he went over to help.
Yeah.
And the girl didn't know what to do. He's like, call a fucking ambulance. Like, this guy's leg is fucked.
Dude, yeah, he's broke his shin. He didn't break his leg. He's broke his shin.
You know what's bad? Yeah. When he lifts his leg in a cowboy boot and it's still bent wrong.
Yeah, like, slip on cowboy boot.
And it was not okay.
Hey, you know what it is? No ankle support, bro.
I remember she's like, just get up. Quit being a pussy.
I think they're on like a first date.
Dude, it was.
Or she was just a bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel bad for that bitch.
It's like, dude just snapped his tibia and fibia over here.
Dude,
like,
it was.
Well, first of all, if it's icy and cold out, don't wear cowboy boots.
He not Dak, a good. He Dak Prescott of that fucking leg.
You could hear it snap. I was like, woo. Oh, hey. He needs some milk.
Oh, Jesus.
It was bad. I'm excited for that show again, though. I'm trying to see some other dude snap his leg on some ice, you know. Trying
to
go out there. And
probably will be actually.
See our people in Lincoln. The great people of Lincoln.
Maybe you'll get lucky.
Yeah. Hey.
If it happens again, who?
It happens again, I'll probably never go to Lincoln, Nebraska.
No, we should stay away.
Or I'll go back.
Same corner. Same corner of the street.
Same dude.
Oh, my God.
Same dude.
Like, hey,
God
man,
damn it, not again.
It's not the same chick, is it? What's going on here?
Hope it's a different chick.
Just for every first day.
A nicer person.
Every time. Yeah. He just runs into worse women every time he breaks his shin.
What are you doing, man?
Like, hey, remember us? We're back.
Johnny Grunt does
it. It's his other leg now.
Yeah. It's tough out here. Anyway, that's our only trade show we got to look forward to. ATA is gone. ATA is done.
RIP.
Hopefully Iowa happens. We booked that already. Maybe we'll get our money back. I don't. Is Iowa doing the whole mask thing and all that shit?
The what?
Is it masks? Is it Nebraska?
Oh, I don't know.
No, it was Iowa.
I doubt it.
Iowa, right now. Are you going to wear a mask?
Oh, no. Hell no.
We don't even know what those are anymore.
What's up?
All right. Like at Casey's in Illinois, it says mask required.
Now you ignore that.
He's walking.
Oh, yeah, ignore that. But in Iowa, it's like.
You ignore that and touch all the donuts.
It's like mask recommended.
Man, you don't ignore it at Menards. They're like Nazis over
there. Dude, Menards. Dude. I almost hit a 65-year-old lady the other day at Menards. Was hit her right in her mouth. I was walking in. I had a 10-foot board in my hand. I was about to deck her into it.
Kurt's like, turned up to 10 right now.
And I had my daughter with my wife. I'm getting some like home supplies. I'm using that a rebate. You know what I mean? And I go through, and I had a bandana on, but like it wasn't on my face. But I got a board and all that shit. I've been in there forever. Like I'm tattooed enough. Typically, people don't say shit to me. So
that's why you did it.
I started to go into this like lane, not even thinking about it. Like I'm watching Sam and Isla do their thing. They're throwing stuff on the cart, but I'm holding the board because we're like redoing a room in our house, whatever.
Like air guitar in it.
Yeah, I'm air guitar in this 10-foot board, and I walk in. And
that's what I'd be doing.
I walk into the check-in lane. This lady freaks out on me. Get back! Get back! Get back! Like start like coming at me, and I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Like she caught me so off guard how she came at me. I didn't even think like about a mask or anything, you know. I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing? What's wrong with you?" Like, you got to put your mask on, sir. I got to wipe everything down in here now. I'm ever like, all you had to do was tell me to put my mask on, and I would have backed the fuck out. Now I'm not putting it on. You know, like, and I should have decked you with this board right in your front teeth and knocked them out.
You should have just sneezed on her.
I should have been just right on her face.
Put my what on?
Here's the thing. Like, I get the mask thing. If you want to wear your mask, be respectful, but don't tell me to put it on because I'm immediately going to take it off.
Take a bite out of the board and say you can't taste it.
But I can't taste this, and you just mentally assaulted me, and I'm getting this for free. Fuck your rebate.
I'll come back and use the rebate again.
Dude, it was so bizarre. Like, honestly, I was, like, so taken back by it. And I love that my wife's just like, hey, you could have just said, like, hey, put your mask on, please. And he would have just put his mask on, and you wouldn't have had to freak the fuck out.
Right.
She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I told Tyler the next day, like, me and Tyler worked together, so we carpool. And I'm like, I almost hit her with the fucking board. Like, if it would have been a dude, I would have hit him with the board.
A 2x10 straight to the nose.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, this is how I go to jail, huh?
Self-defense.
She just came at me so aggressively. Like, if it wouldn't have been a 65-year-old lady, like, if it would have been, like, a dude my age, I would have hit him with the wood. I would have hit him with the pine.
Keep it down to the wood.
Like, I'd have been like, damn, now it's a 6-foot board discount.
Dingo 20.
Dingo 20.
You know, out of the wood. Yeah. I would, yeah.
Draw him in his tracks.
I would hit him through.
Ooh, that's
the wood.
Nasty.
It was so, like, it bothered me. I was mad all the way home. Like, that's how weird it was.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, gee whiz, man.
I'm just real asinine about it. When I walk into Menards, I know I'm supposed to have a mask on, but I wait for that front counter customer service to just call me out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm like walking, it's in my pocket, and they're like, I don't even look at them.
Sir, you need to have a mask walking, on. Oh, yeah.
Start
yeah.
walking towards the little spinny wheel to work your way in, and they're like, sir, do you have a mask? And I...
No, Ross is like, no, I got a beard.
As I pull my
I'm
mask.
Good.
Yeah.
Pull your beard over your mouth.
like just, what is a mask going
to
do
right I went now, to I went to Dick's Sporting Goods in Burlington, Iowa, probably like a month ago. And they bitched at me when I walked in.
Yeah, real Nazis about it.
And I was like...
fuck that place.
I turned around, I was like, nope. And we left, and Sam's like, yeah, but you need to buy some stuff. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'll go to Walmart. Buy
yeah.
it.
It's the same way in Davenport. They're real fucking weird about it there.
Really?
You know what, though? Get you one of those.
Stream and whatever.
Get you one of those.
But you go to a bar.
Get you a beer helmet. Shit. Get you a beer helmet and put one of the.
Yeah, close a tavern down on Saturday. 2 a.m.
Yeah,
no, I'm covered.
20 people there.
Sink Crusher mask. I don't know, man. I'm over all of it. If you want to wear a mask, wear it, but don't tell me I need to.
Right. Yep.
Or just stay the fuck inside, and then you don't have to drive behind you while you're doing 53 and a 55 while I'm trying
wearing
to
wearing a mask in your car.
You know what I mean? You ever drive behind someone that's doing 50 and a 55, and it's like a perfect wind at your spot? You're just trying to get there?
Mm-hmm.
Those people can just stay inside. Like, just COVID.
But they don't. They just keep crawling out.
It's like, the COVID is scary. Just don't drive.
Right.
Just let me drive to my stand, and fuck you, you know? Anyway, that's our rant. That's our political rant for the podcast.
Yeah, we got to go home.
Episode 400, boys.
I'm tired.
Shit got deep.
In the bag.
What do you think? We covered a lot.
In the bag.
Covered a lot of ground here. Celebrate a little bit. Drink some beers.
Yeah.
What do you think? Anything we missed? Anything we got to talk about? Anything you want to close with? Ross, we'll start with you. Roundtable it.
Yeah, let's... what are we? We're about prime time here. It's getting close, so...
It's scary, man.
Yeah. Get your strategy together. Get out there. I don't care if you're setting it up or decoying it up or
hauling it up or sending it up.
Fixed or expandables or
blowing four, the deer
40 pounds or 70 pounds. I don't give a shit.
Sent or not. Wafers, yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Just get out there, get your game plan, go knock one down.
Bingo.
Lord?
It's exciting, man. I'm pumped. What is it? October 14th, 13th,
14th. Yep. Time of recording.
Be done with corn here in like 2 days, and it'll be time to go out in the timber. It's cold front's coming in. Everything's looking good.
Tomorrow.
In October is going to be dynamite for us, I think, dude. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. It's lining up. Hopefully we don't get on one.
I hope so. Good luck, fellas.
Trad bow game, man.
I hope so.
Does Lord Chandler bless us?
Indeed.
I'll bless all of you if the mustache will give us predictions.
All the round table?
Doug?
Jesus fuck.
You're up.
Just do a quickie now. When is everybody going to kill? Because we know everybody in here is going to kill something.
Give us week by the week.
By the week? All right.
He just licked his mustache.
Well,
you got to taste it.
Still got lunch in there. Yeah. He's hungry.
Yeah. Oh, ham sammy in there.
Processed cheese somewhere back in that thing.
Is that ketchup and
is that Jimmy John's?
Onion?
Jimmy John's?
Some yes, wop on that thing, dude.
comb that bitch out every once in a while, bro.
I should wash it more.
Just saying.
Messing my predictions. All right. Fuck. I'm a little prepared for this one.
So stupid.
I'm going to go with Austin first. I'm going to say, you said week by week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last week, October for Austin.
Ooh, I like that.
Nice.
First week of November for Kurt.
I'll take it.
I'm going to go second week for November for Eric. And
better dig deep, buddy.
First week of November for Ross.
Ooh,
first week of November, hey, Rut Buck.
Let's get it, Ross.
Rut Buck.
Hey, team photos together.
That'd me be nice. You. That'd me be nice. You and me.
Then November 11th for me.
Ooh, calling it to call the day. Day.
Yeah, to the day. Hey, Tyler's not on the podcast, but he's hunting his first buck. I'm trying to get him on one.
Look into me. Look at my eyes.
Between October 14th and December 10th.
I'm going to need you to look at me.
All right, I'm going to go.
Stare deep into my soul.
Third week of November. Be a little later, but you'll be there.
He'll get it. Okay. It'll be me talking them into it, and they'd be like, all right,
I'll
do
a
hangover.
You gotta get out.
That's what it'll be. Okay, that's fair. Cool. That's Doug's roundtable for 400. I can agree with all that. That'd be fun. I wish we had a walk-in freezer to save all our bucks for the year. Like, just keep them nice and aged. All there. And then take a big group photo. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be badass.
Aged venison's a thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'd be
I don't know about 3 months.
It'd be a sumbitch to skin them out, though.
There'd be some sore-looking bucks in that photo.
You just got to lick your finger and rub your eyes.
It would be cool to have, like, a walk-in freezer, though. Just freeze them up for 3 weeks.
Half of them are skinned out
and then
already.
Butcher them all together. Yeah. That'd be fun. Yeah.
It would be.
Like a butcher
just
party.
A bunch of guys with just the skulls.
Skin them out, but leave
Ross,
the cave.
That walk-in cooler ready?
Maybe next year. We'll
okay.
see.
Okay. Well, next year we'll plan on that.
I don't know.
Eric, you got anything to close out with?
No. I'm just grateful for 400 episodes and everyone that followed us along in the last 5 years. It's been a crazy ride, but.
Yeah.
5 years. Holy shit.
Almost six.
Six, yeah.
My closing is, you know, of course, thank you. 400 episodes. You made it through this whole thing. You are a soldier. You're a soldier. All the bullshit, all the fun, all the good, all the bad. We appreciate you. The ups and downs, the ins and outs with our partners. We're honest about it all. We talk about it. If there's anything ever going on with us in the industry, we are willing to just let it out. That's what it's about. Letting our listeners know what we're doing and keeping you guys involved because you're a part of this just as much as we are. No matter what we're doing. So if somebody doesn't like it, fuck them. That's a part of it. And that's kind of that attitude that's kind of got us to this point and having fun no matter what anybody thinks and kind of doing it our own way and trying to pave a new path in the game. And we're glad to have you along with us. And we're going to continue to push forward. We're going to push pretty hard here over the next year. And I think you're going to see a lot of us, whether you like it or not. And if you listen this far, hopefully you like it.
Really looking for the next
otherwise, you're just fucking bored, man.
If you don't like it, I mean, I'm impressed.
Yeah, if you don't like it,
Glad to have you.
Yeah. Thanks for being here still.
We're really looking forward to the next 400 episodes for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So this is fun. It was a solid BS session with some topics thrown in, and I had a good time. And I think, you know, moving on, of course, main host, myself, Eric, Doug. Doug, glad to have you in as a main guy now.
Thanks, guys. I'm glad to be here.
It feels good. You put your time in, man. You put your work in, trade shows, behind-the-scenes stuff and all that. So it's finally happening.
Yeah, that may be, but, you know, I'm here.
It's good to finally have a host that does some work for a spot.
Right.
And
I've been trying.
Basically, so Doug's spot is kind of shared between Austin and Ross now. And so we'll see a lot more of you guys here in the future,
yep.
or both you guys on each episode. We'll see what we can do. This has been a ton of fun, and maybe we don't need guests as often if we got the topics and all that. When we got
the big buck killers,
the boys,
that's Ferda. Right.
Ferda.
All right, 400 times of go shoot your bow. You know what to do. We love you. We know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you. See what I did.